The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, a rainy day in Foxborough. But that's all right. We're feeling good. Patriots, people are getting more healthy. We're going to talk about that. They got their big defensive tackle in a trade. The only team to make a trade yesterday at the deadline, the New England Patriots. I told Paul that, Andy, and he immediately thought, you know, his conspiracy that I was saying that to make the Patriots look good for some reason. And so, you know, he attacked it, the whole thing. So,
I don't know what I'm going to do with you two.
But I was just simply stating a fun fact that the Patriots were the only team to make a trade at the deadline. That's
that
all.
Argument you two had when we were taping our morning meeting yesterday in the middle of the show was
a fun fact.
Was uncomfortable.
I don't remember.
I don't really either. You two just started fighting, and it kind of threw the segment out of whack.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You two fight over everything.
Well, he's very argumentative.
He is, in general.
Because he thinks that anytime I say anything about the Patriots...
Well, he pre-fights.
I'm trying to make them look, you know... I'm doing it to with an ulterior motive.
He goes into every conversation prepared for whatever fight he thinks might be coming,
right.
Even if it never comes.
That's right. That's good.
You know, we have pre-mails. He has pre-fights. He like goes through in his head.
Good way of putting it. Anyway, Paul will be here eventually. He must have found a camera on the way down. And
I hope
stopped.
So, because I got to leave in a little while to go try to talk to Dante Hightower for our TV show.
Oh, okay.
Got any questions for him? Serious questions, by the way, and fans, don't start emailing in. Why can't you cover?
Well,
a receiver?
Now that he had a game with the dot, and then a game right after without, did he see a difference in, you know, being out there with and without the dot?
Sure,
you know?
We'll talk a little dot. We'll talk a little bit about calling the plays, yeah. And I want to actually ask him because I've heard some players talk about how it's annoying, like because it's not just whatever the defense is. Sometimes the coordinator will,
right.
You know, look out for this, look out before it shuts off, and on some level that might be a little annoying. I
right.
would think just. You're trying to look and see what's going on. You got a guy barking in your ear. So I'll talk to him a little bit about that. Maybe talk to him about the Patriots' Christmas Halloween party this week.
Yeah.
Did you see the Bill Belichick photos of
I
him
did.
As a pirate?
I did.
The Rob Gronkowski, was, I mean, Rob Ninkovich was phenomenal.
What was he?
He went as a, I guess it's a pharaoh,
oh,
but
yeah?
He has that beard and he had like the eyeliner. And it worked perfectly.
How do they get all these costumes?
Well, they all look like they come from high-end.
Exactly. That's what I mean. How do they
get... Well, there's got to be in Boston or somewhere a high-end costume place, I would think. But I mean, yeah, these are not out of you know, those little shops that set up in the old Circuit City buildings. And
meanwhile, the Tom Brady one. I mean, why does he let her do that to him? He's not a dress-up doll, and he shouldn't let her.
But he
treat
has
him
been
like
his
that.
Whole life. Yeah, his sisters dressed him up. Now his wife dresses him up.
He shouldn't let her do that to him.
You didn't like the Cowardly Lion?
No.
Why? Because it's cowardly.
With the curls and everything.
Yeah, you let him behind my back? Yeah, he's got one hand behind his back because it's hurt.
Yeah. So I don't like that.
All right, let's get down to business.
What?
We got a fire hydrant, baby, for the middle of the defense.
We do.
I know people are trying to poo-poo this trade, and Pro Football Focus said he was the 37th best defensive. I don't care. I wanted a big veteran fire hydrant. We got a big veteran fire hydrant.
And he's strong.
Yes.
You must like that.
Yes.
Does a lot of bench presses.
And he's Samoan. I like that. I think they make the best fire hydrants.
Right. So it was definitely a position of need. Now, we mentioned guys getting healthy. Tommy Kelly returned to practice yesterday or today. And that doesn't mean he's going to play this week, but he's getting closer. And there is a chance he might play this week. So
two veterans could be added to that defensive middle.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's not Kelly and Wilfork, but it's Kelly and another big guy. And, you know, what does that mean for Chris Jones and Joe Valano? Well, now they've got more experience. So now when they rotate in, they could be even more effective.
Pick your spots with them, right. Especially with Jones, who's a little bit more, seems like a pass rusher.
Right.
How you use him. Yeah, that the depth of that defensive line went from nil to decent with a couple of veterans coming back.
So that's good news. Shane Vereen returned to practice today. He can't play no matter what happens and how good he looks in practice. He can't play until after the bye anyway.
Correct, Carolina.
So that's the first day he'll be eligible to play.
But it's better for him practicing now. Now he's got a couple weeks here to get ready for that.
Sure.
And we know, okay, he is getting healthy. He can get out on the field. It's not going to be one of these Gronk things where we're wondering how long is this going to take. He's getting out there.
Right. So that's all good news.
Leon Washington back
out there. Was Tlaib out there?
Tlaib's been out
there. I know he has. Yeah.
I believe everyone was out there. All 53.
That's right. It was perfect attendance, according to Paul's guy, Jeff Howe.
That doesn't mean they're going to all play and are all healthy.
But, you know, when you talk about perfect attendance in week 9, it's not the same thing as perfect attendance in week 1, because there's already guys on IR now.
I mean,
you know, so
perfect attendance would include Wilfork and Mayo.
Exactly. You know, so it's all relative. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Couple things. People had trouble downloading PFW in Progress yesterday from iTunes.
Yeah, what's the issue?
It's an iTunes issue. If you use one of the other podcasting downloaders, or if you downloaded it from patriots.com, it was there and has been there. We're working something out. It's on there now, but it took like 24 hours to get up there. So
it's Chris's fault.
We're reaching out to iTunes to figure out what's going on there. Think if there's any other business we need to take care of.
Sebastian Vollmer officially on IR after breaking the leg, having surgery. That's the spot that Sopoaga. I'm going to have a little trouble with that.
Well, I call him Soap and Bubbles.
Well, I've always called him Sopago. I don't know why, just in my head.
Yeah.
And now it hurts me because that's not how you say it.
Yeah.
Sopoaga.
Sopoaga, but Soap and Bubbles is good.
Well, his teammates in Philly called him Soap.
Soap,
that was his nickname.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, you're having visions of middle school bump button with him.
Oh, okay. Paul's here with a blazer on and one of his fancy shirts.
And the guy is on the horse.
Yeah.
He didn't fall off or whatever.
Right. Hi, Paul. Did you find a camera on the way down?
Patriots coming off the field as we speak.
Oh, good. Should I leave soon?
Probably.
Don't they? Well, I'm a little. It didn't seem like Comcast. I think they're down one camera from what they normally have.
Oh, and they only have one?
I was told 1.5. I don't
what
know what
does that mean?
Somebody's got a cell phone they're going to hold up to shoot my interview.
iPad.
Andy and I were both just intrigued by the fact that the Patriots were the only team to make a trade at the deadline.
Yeah, Fred was all a flutter about that.
Well, I just thought it was interesting.
I thought there was some trades.
Fun fact!
I thought there was some trades made this year. First of all, I think the Patriots always seem to be the only ones to do these kinds of things, but I also thought there was some trades before the trade deadline this year, like McKinney, a couple days before the trade deadline. Trent Richardson.
That is a fact.
Right. That's a fact. Sure.
That's a not-so-fun fact.
No, it's not as fun as Fred's. The Patriots are the only team to split the atom.
I don't know why you have to make it
I have
it
an
look
unbelievable
that.
Rattle in these headphones.
Well, I mean, there's plenty
you
of
sure
things.
That's in your headphones and not your head?
Plenty of things the Patriots are the only team
cannot,
to do.
I cannot confirm, Fred.
I'm guessing the Patriots are the only team that went 1 of 12 on third down in 2 of 3 weeks.
Right. I didn't say that to make the Patriots look
good.
It's
a fun fact, Fred.
It's just a fun fact.
With any ulterior motive.
No,
like,
I know you were trying to set me up here. I could tell by the snarky look on Andy's face. But there were some trades, I think, legitimately, before the trade deadline this year. So.
Right. And I think there's no doubt that other guys were out there. I mean, for example, Michael Huff and Marcus Spears got waived today by their team. So there's no doubt that that team probably was trying to trade them and get something rather than just waive them.
But or
no
even
one,
Jared
but no
Allen.
One was willing to take them.
I mean, there was enough smoke around Jared Allen that there was talks going on.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And the price had to be too high on some of those receivers, too, right?
Right.
So... Yeah, I think there was a...
Well, if you believe Cleveland, and they legitimately had second-round offers for Josh... What are you looking for?
Well, no, I mean, to me, I completely dismissed that, because no one offered you a second-round pick.
Well, unless they think he's worth a first.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's no way that someone offered them a second-round pick for a guy that could be out of the league next year, and they didn't take it. To me, that's impossible.
That's true, because Michael Lombardi couldn't offer Michael Lombardi the pick. And we assume that he makes some of the worst trades in the NFL.
So. Wow.
We haven't talked about Gronk either.
Yeah, this video.
I'm down.
Yeah. I
finally found a way to have Andy say something that Rob Gronkowski was related with, connected to, was not good.
Yeah.
This was it.
It's horse poo.
I think this
is terrible.
If you don't know what we're talking about, there was a video that got leaked to Deadspin or someone, and they leaked it to Deadspin. And it was sort of, they call it a sizzle tape to try to get people interested in making an animated film about the Gronkowski.
I never heard that term. A sizzle tape?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? I never heard of that.
Not until this.
Yeah. And
I'd ask, where's the steak?
And it was just, you know, interviewing them.
I wasn't impressed
them all goofing around. And it was just really over the top. It was
stupid.
Like really stupid, sophomoric. And,
but not even sophomoric because, like, I didn't really laugh.
Yeah,
like,
It wasn't
funny.
I was funny.
Uncomfortable, awkward.
It didn't put them in a good light.
No.
It was really the worst of the stereotypes that you think of when, you know, you think of frat boys.
Like, I told you this. I can only imagine what the mother thinks of this. Like, when she watches that, so proud of my sons and my ex-wife.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's
you know,
embarrassing.
You know, shooting beer cans and talking about women.
Five times,
you know
being with
like
five
that.
Women.
And
you know, taking Viagra at a pool party just to have a raging erection.
And there was just
nothing. Like,
to impress the girls.
Kind of like, what's his name in our open today?
It was just
Ron
nothing.
Burgundy.
Yes, I do. There wasn't anything clever or funny about it. And I know they want to make some type of animated feature. And if you read the info, they've got somebody from Family Guy involved, which is good. I mean, I love that show.
Yeah, but who is it? I hate when people, you know, from the third grip of Family Guy.
Like, right.
What are you attaching your name to?
Well, the third grip.
But even
is it McFarlane? Because if it's not McFarlane, we're moving down the ladder quickly.
They said the guy's name in the story.
Well, but even if,
did you not read the story? You just watched the video?
Yeah. That's all I needed.
Even if it is one of the more creative people, you're talking about something different when you talk about fictional animated characters versus, you know, animated characters that are real people. You're not going to be able to get away with what you think you can get away with if you're judging it from Family Guy.
Right.
You know, they're not going to be able to do it.
Like, you can't sing, you know, this is totally an example, but I said to you, Eric Cartman sings a song like, all the security guards at the water park are Mexican.
Right.
If you say that and you're a real person, you're in trouble.
Right.
Even
right.
if it's a cartoon of a real person,
exactly.
It's based on you. You're in trouble.
You can't do it. You know, so I don't know what they're going to do. We were talking about it would be better if they made a kid's animated film about the Gronkowskis where, yeah, they get in trouble, but it's the good kind of trouble and they learn lessons. And
you can do the same thing.
And you put it on Saturday morning.
The story about them going in the basement with pillows and doing like that's funny. That's cute. That's endearing. That's bunching into each other. And Rob broke his arm and we learned a lot. Like something like that. I said with NFL Play 60, you know, with the league. But I just...
Yeah.
He's turned into one of those, like, just go aways. You know, like the star or the Amanda Bynes or, like, it's just like it's an accident waiting to happen. Just go away.
And Rob's got a job, you know, and it's a big time job, you know. These other guys in the father, you know, I'm sure they're doing something for work, but this is tagging on. This is in, you know, they might be able to focus on this 100%, but Rob can't. And I just worry about it. I really do.
Well, see, I don't have necessarily those concerns. I just think it looks bad and it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think it's taking away from his playbook or it's taking away from him, being competitive on the football field. It's just stupid and you don't need to do it.
It's classless. And that's what I don't like about it. I don't like having to.
Like, I'm not the classiest person. I do a lot of things that are classless.
Of course, I'm not either. But what I'm saying is if it was something. I don't really find that family all that interesting. Like I think that they're a dime a dozen sort of frat boy types that you see. You go to any college campus around the country, and you'll see five guys like that.
Well,
and to me, there's nothing really funny or interesting about it. Rob is interesting and intriguing because he's the most dominant tight end in the NFL.
Well, what's interesting about the families? They have five really elite athletes. You know, they're all
There's a pro baseball player. There's three professional NFL. Football players and another one who's
Kansas State or whatever.
But once you get beyond that,
unbelievable.
That's it. Really,
that's episode
three. The fact that they're all really, really good athletes.
But that's what I mean. There's nothing really interesting or intriguing about it that separates them from anybody else, other than the fact that Rob happens to be the most dominant player at his position, arguably in the history of the league. You can't overstate how good he is as a tight end. But you know, the sending an email to his teacher. I mean. You don't think there's like hundreds of idiots that have done that?
Punks.
Right. You know, that's not funny.
It's not funny. So, I don't know. And these things are getting all released now, these videos, and I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. He's like a hair away from his career ending, potentially, like with all these injuries and everything. If you're a network, are you investing in this stupid Gronk show? He's a little ways removed from being great, you know. And he seems to be closer to the end than the beginning right now because of injuries.
Paul, you know, saying that he's the most dominant player at his position, you could argue that he has the potential to be. And he was for a little bit.
My argument would be
he needs to get back to that.
For a short period of time, he's the best.
My argument would be that he has been. I mean, he's only played two games this year.
Right, but he's got some focusing to do to get back to that place.
Well, see, I don't think he has any focusing.
I'm with Andy.
He has some getting healthy to do and staying healthy.
He needs to knock off some rust, but it's not because of he's doing these things.
He didn't do a stupid video and that ended his career. That's where you mix the issues.
The Ocho Cinco thing. That's why he couldn't do something on the
field. This video makes Ocho Cinco look like he was, dedicated to life as a professional player.
Right. Even VIP Strippers just wrote it. He says it's not fun and it's not funny.
Right.
It's not a fun fact.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have a more traditional Gronk reality show. Than this, I'd rather and I don't really need the brothers a lot. Every once in a while, okay, he gets together with them, but like Gronk would be more interesting to me when he goes with party with a porn star. When he goes to this, just the traditional follow him around reality show would be better than this crap.
Yeah. So, we're probably talking about it more than we should.
Oh no, I don't think so.
No,
I think this is right on the cusp of becoming a major issue and a major thorn in Bill Belichick's side. You know, we already have had some people that are like, go away, trade him, get rid of him.
Anybody ask him about it this morning?
No. But I was listening through water.
I'm not surprised.
You had problems with your headphones?
Yeah, my Bose headphones. I wonder if anybody else has ever had that
Bose.
Problem. Have you ever tried to listen to a Patriots.com Bill Belichick press conference, either on your phone or your computer, which I did both, and the Bose headphones make it sound like all garbage?
What model headphones? Well, that makes a difference.
The Giselle Bundchen model.
No, are these the surround sound or what?
I don't know.
Comforts?
They're not like the super fancy ones, but they're decent.
How old are they?
They're a few years old, 4 or 5 years old.
So, okay.
Maybe it's time for an upgrade.
I'll bet you somebody, I didn't realize one listener knows.
But I didn't realize different headphones could react differently on...
The pluggy thing.
Yeah.
Some work.
This is the director of interactive media.
I know Bose.
Cutting edge of technology.
Like
Bose,
Bose makes certain headphones that work really well with iPhones so that you can get, the phone calls and being able to, so I don't know. I know there is differences in what you can listen to. And the fact that, the Patriots file is an MP4 or whatever. Maybe that's an MP3. I'm not sure.
They work fine. Like when I do my transcribing, fine. When I listen to iTunes radio, music, whatever, fine. It's just when I did our website.
Yeah. So maybe there's somebody out there that knows. I'm sure there is. All right.
I should probably go, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
I hate that.
You hate that?
I hate when we only. I know.
Make it fast.
It really is.
So Andy's heading to the locker room to get Dante Hightower.
So I'm getting a text from my wife. Evidently, somebody in the neighborhood allowed either their dog or cat to poop on our front steps.
Right on the front steps.
Yeah, on the front landing.
You sure it was a dog?
She just got home. Well, I said you sure it was because it's a cat that's always walking around.
Sorry.
No, it was definitely an animal
because
it was small. Because she wasn't even sure if it was a cat or a dog.
Oh.
So I don't think that, you know. That'd be like a two-year-old.
Right. Didn't you say you had like a little person that lives down the street?
A little person?
Yeah. No?
But Beth is not happy.
Yeah. That's not good.
Not happy. I don't blame her.
Why your steps? Do you feed it?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You don't like cats.
I don't necessarily have negative feelings towards animals, but I don't
like dogs.
I'm not a big fan of pets.
Right.
Yeah. But I've had a cat.
Yeah.
Beth had a cat when we got married.
Okay. You made her get rid of it?
No, he died.
Oh, he died.
Yeah, he was like 14
was
years
it
old.
An accident?
No, he was old. He was really old.
Oh, okay.
He was like 14.
Let's get to some emails while we wait for Andy to get back. Paul from the UK.
Bye.
A couple of questions for you to ponder. First, given the struggles we have seen from both tackles, how has Nate Solder graded out as the highest-rated tackle on Pro Football Focus? Are we missing something, or is the rest of the line playing that badly that Nate is having to cover up other deficiencies? Secondly, after listening to another inferior podcast, a question arose that I found hard to disagree with. Taking away Bill and Tom, are we the least talented team in the division man for man?
Oh. Taking away...
Least talented? No. In the division, no.
I got to go with the Jets right now as the least talented.
Yeah. What about Solder, though? I've heard that he was graded out as...
Solder or Vollmer?
Solder.
Solder is the...
Graded out as the highest.
You know I don't really like that those rankings because I don't know how someone who doesn't understand and know what the responsibilities are in every play is grading this stuff. But I think individually the Patriots offensive line has good players. I think the group has not performed up to its capabilities. Is that fair to say?
Sure. And I think that, you know.
And Solder has been part of that. Solder has been beaten, especially the last couple of weeks, last three, 4 weeks.
Yep.
He's been a part of the problem. But I think Solder is a damn good left tackle.
And also,
as is Vollmer on the right side.
I forget who wrote it. I don't know if it was SI or ESPN, but somebody wrote about overall offensive lines in the NFL this year having a real hard time. That's a lot of teams really struggling with their offensive lines. And we're going to play one this week in the Steelers. So it could be that, you know, he's just the beneficiary of weak offensive lines out there this year. You know, and tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about all the other teams to know how much the offensive lines are struggling or not, but I know ours is struggling. Because obviously we're more familiar with the Patriots because we watch them every week. And to me, the striking part about it is it's such a contrast to what you're used to seeing. You're used to seeing Brady get sacked like 20, 25 times for a season, and he's already been sacked that amount for half a season. So, it's hard to ignore that.
Kyle and Stores, just want to say thank you. Having listened to you since the Deion Branch holdout when I was in high school, my life has gone through many changes, whether it be college, my first job, or moving. But one of the few constants that I've had over the past 8 years has been you guys. I think I speak for a lot of PFW Nation when I say listening to your podcast is like hanging out with my friends a few times a week. I will continue to subscribe to the paper that makes the podcast possible in hopes of keeping this show going as long as the team keeps playing. Thank you for all the entertainment you provide us with. It doesn't get said enough. Well, thank you, Kyle. That is really nice. What's wrong, Paul? Your arm hurts?
Yeah, I got a little crick.
Don't you think that's nice?
I think that's very nice.
Yeah.
And Kyle, it's almost like... he grew up on us. You know, he was like a high school, wet behind the ears, high school kid. And
Deion
Branch
just
hold out.
I remember when he was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden he's out of college and first job. And
we practically raised him.
He's like all grown up.
Yeah, it's good.
Very impressive, Fred. Yeah. How many people do you think we have like that?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Because when you think about the technology,
And those are the people.
It was the young people that picked it up first.
Those are the people.
You know, so they grew up with us. Jason in Lafayette, Indiana. I have a potentially stupid question. When Brady comes to the line, I hear him clearly yelling, 59's the mic. I know he's identifying the mic linebacker. My question is, why is that so important, and why can't the rest of the team see who the mic linebacker is without Brady telling them? Sunday, I heard 59's the mic from Brady. Then I watched the Broncos game and heard Peyton Manning all day with its hurry, hurry. Then I had to hear the stupid Viking horn all night on the late game.
They identify the mic because that's how they identify their blocking schemes.
And my question always has been, if you get that mic wrong, then how much does that throw off all the blocking schemes?
Not at all.
So then why do you need to identify the mic?
Because you have to tell everybody which guy that you're saying is the mic.
Okay.
You can't have Tom thinking 59's the mic and Ryan Wendell thinking 52's the mic.
Right. So it doesn't really matter if you're wrong. It's just
we're all wrong together.
Right. Exactly.
I really do think it's as simple as that. I know sometimes we complicate, but there are things that they need to identify their blocking schemes, and that's how they do it. And by the way, every team, you might not always hear it, every team yells out the mic.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot on games. Now, I think Tom is really demonstrative with it, and I think that's why you always hear him. But I know every year that I've been here with you, going back to Pete Carroll, same thing every single play at practice. You hear them yelling it out, and I hear it on games as well. I don't know why it is so important, you know, but evidently it is because everybody does it.
Yeah. Let's see. And the Peyton Manning, hurry, hurry. It does seem whenever he says that, they snap the ball pretty quickly after that, you know?
Yeah, my guess is that is probably not necessarily a signal, but it's like, okay, everybody has it now. Let's go. Hurry, hurry.
Right, right.
And then it sort of gets them in a cadence to get ready.
Yeah.
But I did hear him doing that a lot because I watched some of that game. When they fell behind on Sunday 21-7, I had that game on for a little while, and you could hear him a lot on that Fox broadcast.
Yeah. I did get an email from someone who was upset because during our game, when the Patriots had the ball, during our game when, who did we play again? When Miami had the ball, on TV, you could clearly hear Tannehill's signal calling. And this emailer correctly said that you should never be able to do that.
It was a bad crowd on Sunday.
The crowd should be drowning that out. You should not be able to hear that on TV.
It was our worst crowd of the season.
And the email's right. There's no excuse for that.
Okay.
You should not be able to hear the visiting quarterback signals on TV.
And Kevin is on the field, so he would have something to compare it to from week to week, and he thought it was the worst crowd of the season.
Yeah.
Certainly they didn't give him anything to get too excited about early in the game. The first half, they didn't do anything to get excited about. But, yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. You go on the road in the NFL, and generally you can't hear that stuff.
Right.
And if you could hear it clear as day here, that's not good.
Let's see. Cal in Chicago is listening to yesterday's show, and I hope our trade for Philly D lineman makes Andy and Paul happy. I was hoping for Gonzo, but go Pats. You guys said it. You know,
you
forget
did
about.
Too. Don't,
yeah,
don't, don't,
we all agree.
Don't cut yourself out of that.
You know, wide receiver certainly was a need, but also D lineman in the middle was a big need. And I think the Patriots did a good job with what was available, you know, helping that need.
Here's what I look at with the wide receivers. Do I look at it and say that the individuals are good enough? You know, my answer is no. But I'm looking at it and I'm seeing Josh Boyce is inactive every week now. Austin Colley is a bit player at best. What are we going to do? I mean, like, if those guys can't get on the field, if we're so desperate for more wide receivers, why are we not playing the ones we have?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Akeem Nicks or Larry Fitzgerald or, you know, any of these other big names that are available, you know, supposedly available wouldn't be an upgrade. Of course they would. But they don't seem to think that their receiving situation is as dire as we do based on their actions. You know what I mean?
I do.
I also... And we touched on this when I first got here. I have to think that the asking price for those receivers was out of whack because none of them moved.
Right.
And there were a lot of them. You know, Josh Gordon, Akeem Nicks, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenny Britt. There were a lot of different big-name receivers that were supposedly available.
Right.
And none of them moved. Greg Little would be another one from Cleveland. You look around. Like Indianapolis just lost Reggie Wayne. They couldn't use a receiver.
Right.
But they didn't trade for one. They just made a big deal a couple, month ago or so with Trent Richardson.
Sure.
So clearly they're not averse to making a big deal midseason.
Right.
And they didn't acquire one. So right. Maybe the price tag was just too high, too.
Mike also says, or Cal, I'm sorry, also
Green
says,
Bay is another team, by the way. It has all their wide receivers are hurt, and they didn't make a deal for one.
Cal says, I'm a subscriber to the paper, but now that I have the iPad app, I find myself not reading the paper as much. Plus, the mail is 50-50 on getting me the paper before the game.
Oh.
So I was wondering if I could donate the paper to someone. I was thinking the Hasbro Children's Hospital in Providence. Is that okay? How do I update that? Do I need to contact the hospital and find the right place to send it? Yes and yes. I think you would need, you know, the hospitals have different addresses. I don't know.
And they need to.
Yeah so
they would
I
need to know about that.
Yeah, I would call them and let them know. But then once you know what address you want to change it to, we'll still keep it under your account because you need that account to log into the PFW app. But we can change the address it's being sent to. You can email carolh2rs@patriots.com and let her know you want to change the address it's being sent to. And we can do that really easily for you.
C-A-R-R-O-L-H
right.
at patriots.com.
And that's a great idea, Mike.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. Thank you.
So
and it's nice to, you know, have some understanding with the mail and not just say, I got to get rid of this
right
piece of crap.
And thank you for downloading the iPad app, Patriots Football
Daily.
And if you don't know about that, that's our app for iPad. You get all the subscriber content from PFW as soon as we publish it. So you get actually get it before you get it in the mail. And all the Patriots.com stuff, all the press conferences live, all the Patriots Today, all the articles, everything, photos, cheerleader stuff. And on game day, you get a special game center where you can get, if you're in New England, the live feed from 98.5. Plus, you can press a button and hear the live feed from the PA announcements at Gillette Stadium. So you kind of feel like you're here. And all the statistics, obviously, and everything like that. So it's a award-winning app. I've given it an award.
Hey, Jeremy, close an app.
Right. If you don't already have it and you have an iPad, you need to download Patriots Football Daily.
You like the Sox tonight, Freddie?
I do.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You like the Sox?
They should wrap it up tonight. I know the Waka kid is pretty good pitcher, but...
Am I being overly worrisome in that I feel like they need to wrap it up tonight?
No. If they don't win tonight, they'll win tomorrow.
Okay. So I am being overly yep. worrisome. Yep. I think the Sox are... a better team.
Yeah.
I think they're a better team, without question. Yeah. But I worry about what the pitching situation is tomorrow.
As soon as the Red Sox realize that we
the other team can't hit?
No, that we shouldn't wait to try to get deep into these counts and be a little bit more aggressive because these pitchers knew that strategy and they were getting up on them, I think they were fine.
But they can't hit.
Are you ready, comedy partner? Right. Waka, waka. Yeah.
The Sox can't hit either. They hit just a little bit better than St. Louis, who can't hit at all. Wow, they are bad.
No, I don't see the Sox. There's no way that they don't win this.
Yeah, I think they win tonight. Matter of fact, Kevin's boy that he just played the Waka Waka, I think he is terrific. But I think they're going to get to him a little bit tonight. There's a lot. I mean, I know that he's been under a lot of pressure in almost every one of his starts. He had an elimination game against Pittsburgh, game four that he pitched. He had a big game in game six to close out the Dodgers. He had the series on the line in game two. If they lost that one, that series would have been over, and,
yeah.
he won that one. But I just think that they're going to find a way to get to him a little bit early. I don't think they're going to blow him out, but I think they're going to get a few runs in the first three innings, maybe get three or four on the board. And with that team,
and remember,
they can't hit.
Yeah,
that's game,
don't
game
count
set match.
Out more errors and things like that.
Game too. Set match if they can get a lead.
Yeah. Ace Ticket Hotline's 508-298-0398, and Alex from Chicago is on the line. Hey, Alex.
He's really low, Fred. Try him one more time.
There it is,
hey,
Alex.
Fred, how you doing?
Good.
What's up,
how
Alex?
You doing?
Good. All right. Well, yeah. I think that trade at the last minute was great. I remember watching Sapoga. I don't know how to pronounce it. I was going to say Soap.
Soap and Bubbles,
I watching, yeah. I remember watching Soap for the 49ers, and I thought he was pretty good, you know? So I like that trade for us, and I know a team making a trade at the last minute is kind of, you know, far-fetched, but I felt like the Patriots were going to make a trade for some reason, you know, and I kind of expected them to make a trade And sure enough, they did. So, yeah, glad about that.
That's what we talked about yesterday, Alex. You know, bring in a 350-pound guy. Now, he's not quite that big. He's like 330. But bring in a big run stuffer that you can plug in and help out Villano and Jones, because you're asking too much out of those guys.
Right. As Andy said, a fire hydrant, and that's where I think he is, you know.
Yep.
Big guy, and he's strong. So that's good. And another thing I like is that, you know, perfect attendance. I know that doesn't say a lot without Bulmer and Mayo and, you know, Wilford being there. But
no, you're right, though. That's something to be excited about. I agree with you.
Especially going into a game before the bye week.
Yep.
Where you have a chance to get healthy, you know. So as long as they have a good, clean game where nobody gets hurt this week, I think we'll be in good shape for the second half of the season, you know.
Yeah, no, I think you make a really good point, Alex. And I think that even if, like, Tlaib and Kelly don't play, which I wouldn't be stunned if they didn't play this game, you know they're close, and you know they're practicing, you know they're working, and then maybe Bill looks at it and says, you know, let's give them another week, then they have the bye, stay, you know, to get even a little bit more rested, and then you gear up for the last seven games, and you go from there. I think that would – I'm kind of expecting that.
Right.
You know, exactly. Especially with this deal, you can plug Sopoaga in, and you don't necessarily have to get Tommy Kelly back out there if he's not 100%. And you give him another week, and then you know, maybe he is he's right for the stretch drive.
Right. I looked at a stat that Sopoaga played 32% of the snaps for the Eagles, and mostly on run plays, obviously. But
yeah, that's what I would expect here too.
I like if the Patriots played him a little bit more than that, because I know he just got traded to a new team. But you're also talking about guys that are playing who are undrafted in their first year in the league, you know?
Well, it depends.
So how much does Sopoaga know that they don't already know?
It's going to depend on what the personnel matchup is, and if the other team is throwing all day, then he's probably not going to play.
I would rather have Chris Jones on the field if I feel like it's a passing situation than Sopoaga.
Yeah.
He's a run stuffer, and that's why I think, you know, probably one-third of the plays sounds about right. That's, you're not in your base defense that much anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, right. A lot of Philly's games were all out of whack early, so I don't know if you can go by snap counts with what was going on with their early games, particularly.
Right.
But I think that's what he is. Is he's a one-third playtime guy. He's a run stuffer. So 32%, that makes sense to me.
Talk about, you guys didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but can you guys touch on the whole Pouncey and Hernandez situation? I kind of want to know more about that. I don't really know too much about it, though.
So. All right. Well,
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, what Alex is referring to after the game. On Sunday, Marquise Pouncey was served a subpoena by the
Mike
Pouncey,
right.
Was Marquise's brother. Mike Pouncey was served papers by the Massachusetts State Police to appear in court today, actually, regarding the Aaron Hernandez. And, you know, these guys were friends, you know, dating back from Florida, and I guess they've stayed close since then. And, you know, there's some evidence out there that they might be involved in, you know, firearm transfer from state to state. Who knows? I don't, you know, but anyway, I think basically it's, you know, this guy has, they had enough evidence that this guy might know something that they could give him a subpoena. And it's really just to put the heat on Hernandez.
What's the penalty for not appearing after being subpoenaed? Do you go to jail?
I think you can go to jail, yeah. Yeah.
I was just wondering. Yeah. I'm sure he'll either have made some sort of arrangement or he'll be there.
Yeah, so we should be hearing something about that pretty soon, because usually those things happen around the middle of the day.
Yeah, yeah. But it was an odd situation, and I guess, yeah, they got him when he left the locker room. He was on his way to the buses, and that's when he was served by the Mass State Police.
Yep. Right after Hernandez got arrested, the two brothers, or one of them,
yeah, they had Free Hernandez hats on,
and they took a picture, and it was on.
And the funny thing is the other Pouncey brother would have been here this week with Pittsburgh, but he's on IR, so I would assume that he wouldn't be.
Right.
And certainly, in light of the subpoena, I wouldn't think that he would come.
Stay out of Mass.
Yeah.
Nick in Seattle says, Paul, the turd on your steps might be a raccoon or skunk. Was yesterday trash day?
No. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it, so I can't confirm, but
yeah, it wasn't trash day yesterday.
No, Monday's trash day.
That brings out the raccoons in my neighborhood, and they leave behind something that could be mistaken for a cat or small dog steamer.
That could be, but Yeah, I don't think that's gonna calm my wife down. She's not happy.
Christian TIN says disappointed with the Gronk video. Sophomoric. He has to distance himself from this crap. Hey pal, or hey chief. I know that Paul hates that. You're a multi-million-dollar athlete now, not a freshman at Arizona. And Andy got his fat Samoan with Kelly back at practice and a 330 fatty on board. I feel good today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, good stuff, Christian. Chief, pal, Mac.
Sport.
Big guy.
Skippy. John in New Brunswick, I heard your discussion about Gronk yesterday, and I just watched the video. I agree with what was said yesterday. Trade him now while you can get top dollar.
I'm not quite sure that we said that yesterday.
While I think Gronk is a great player, I am worried about that his version of the NFL Kardashians will cause too many distractions for the team. We already dealt with the Hernandez sideshow. We don't need another one.
Yeah, I think that what I said yesterday is I would trade him for a, you know, top flight talent such as Larry Fitzgerald. I didn't just say we need to trade him.
Robin in Alaska, the Gronk camp is coming perilously close to making Robin to Brian Bosworth. Well, if Bosworth actually mattered in the field anyway. But otherwise, they are channeling the same type of public personality, a circus sideshow. To balance that thought, I must admit that the best thing going for Gronk off the field is how active he seems for charity purposes.
Yeah. At heart, Rob is a nice kid. He's not a troublemaker. I think that you could make an argument that some of the decisions and choices he makes are not the best, but I don't think you're going to see him in significant trouble with the law and things like that. I don't think that he is that kind of a malicious person. But normally this is harmless fun. This kind of stuff continuing is becoming a distraction, I think. And that's where I think the Patriots might, you know, Andy said at some point, I think he's becoming a thorn in Belichick's side. That's the kind of stuff, you know, we don't need this kind of stuff. And I think that's where he's kind of slowly crossing the line. Don't you think?
Yeah. Let's see. Emails coming in. Brent from Illinois. Why is Josh Boyce inactive? Is he really that bad with the crew of wide receivers that we have? And also, Fred, did you get to use the nut wizard this year? I actually didn't. I mean, not a lot of acorns this year.
No?
They weren't producing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm still waiting to use that nut wizard. But why do you think Josh Boyce is inactive?
I mean, I can only guess that he's not picking up the system as well as the others, and the others have played better than he has. Now, from the start of camp, he was clearly third in those three receivers, the three rookies, Tompkins, Dobson, and Boyce. It was always some combination of Tompkins and Dobson and then Boyce. And unless one of those guys was out that particular day or something out of the ordinary happened, it stayed that way. I like Boyce's athleticism. I think that he gives them an element that they don't have in terms of elite speed and dynamic ability.
The few times he's touched the ball, he looked okay.
Yeah, not really in the games, though. He hasn't really done anything.
Well, he had that one play.
Yeah, one catch.
Yeah.
You know, so
didn't he have an end around, too, that he looked okay?
I mean, we keep saying that they should give it. You know, he had like an 8-yard run.
Okay. I'll take an 8-yard run. I mean, he didn't fall on his face.
Just so you know, that's not what you're looking for out of an end around.
No,
you're looking for a big play, especially with a guy like that. You're looking for
But he didn't fall down.
He hasn't. Well, Fred, I mean, can we get the bar off the ground? He didn't fall down.
I'm just saying.
He's supposed to be.
There was no reason for that play not to give him another play.
No, he didn't lose an opportunity based on what he did with the plays that he's had.
Right.
My guess is that he's not where he's supposed to be often enough, and he's not as good as Tompkins and Dobson. I mean, I can only go by what the coaches are doing. And like I said, he's been third in that group.
I really thought
from the start.
He would.
I like the potential.
I thought he'd look like a Dante Stallworth out there.
I like the potential of what he can do. I think that he can be a very dynamic slot receiver. But evidently the Patriots don't see that same potential right now. Maybe they just don't think he's ready. That's what you have to hope, that they just don't think he's ready.
Right. Not that he's a bust.
Right.
Nick in Victoria has another example of how they hate us. Have you noticed Monday Night Football through the decades intro? The Patriots have to be the undisputed team of the millennium. In their intro jumps from 1990 to 2000. We are shown as it jumps from 90 to 2000s. we are shown Green Bay, Manning, and the Colts, and then New Orleans. Not even a frame of the three-time Super Bowl champs, not to mention the two games we don't mention. I say, come on, man. I did kind of notice that. We didn't get a lot of representation in the new intro. And
I've never seen those intros, so I can't comment.
It's because they hate us. There's no doubt.
Knowing us, we probably wouldn't allow them to use our footage.
It's actually not our footage.
I'm just kidding.
NFL Films. Time for Paulie to admit he was wrong. This is from...
Okay, I was wrong.
Christian in Boston. This is a different Christian. I just got to call out Paul on his criticism of the Allen Mesko move from the preseason. Paul criticized Bill for choosing Allen over Mesko. The difference in talent wasn't too great. Allen had more potential and was about $900,000 cheaper, and Paul called it a bad move. Well, right now, Mesko has been waived by the Steelers, and the Patriots have saved $900,000, getting better production from a cheaper, younger version of Mesko with more potential. It's time to admit it, Paul. You were wrong, and owe Bill a very sincere apology. He's waiting, Paul, so I get right to that.
Christian, you have me confused with Andy. And Fred, you can back this up. Because back in May, when I said they didn't just sign a Ray Guy Award winner to come in here to be camp fodder.
That's true.
It was a competition.
That's true.
I was laughed at. Correct?
Yeah.
I was laughed at.
Yep.
Throughout the offseason and into training camp, I was scoffed at by Andy.
Right. And you had no problem with them choosing Allen over Mesko.
I just didn't want it to be money related. If they thought Allen was better than Mesko, fine.
What if they were equal?
Fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it turned out to be. I don't think Mesko won the job.
Right.
But what Mesko did in Pittsburgh is completely irrelevant. Because with the Patriots, he was a pretty good punter. But I had no problem with that move. I just didn't want it to be just about money. It wasn't enough money to keep an inferior punter.
Right.
Now, they didn't do that. But you go back to the offseason when they signed him, and I looked at this guy's resume.
Yeah, you said,
this is not just some like Nip Copeland, the guy from UMass.
You did say that.
That they brought in just to keep him from having to punt too much in camp.
Right.
I thought it was a legitimate competition, and obviously it was.
Also, do you guys think the Patriots have a decent shot of beating the Broncos if we get Talib, Vereen, and Kelly back? They haven't looked all that great lately and were beaten convincingly by the Colts, which was the only good team they've played this season. I'd like to think our defense is better than the Colts, and our offense can score on that awful Denver D. What do you guys think? I mean,
I think if you think that Denver hasn't looked all that good, then you must think the Patriots stink.
Well, I mean, you have to admit that lately you've seen some openings.
Absolutely. Yeah. What have you seen with the Patriots?
Yeah. But you've seen some openings with the Colts. I agree.
The Broncos, to me, have taken a clear step back in the last couple of weeks. What have you seen from the Patriots?
That he said once they get these guys back.
But that's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
If you're going to say that the Denver hasn't played as well the last couple of games as they did in the first few, what are you saying about the Patriots?
Well, I think the Patriots have struggled all season.
Especially lately, wouldn't you say? Losing to the Jets.
Yeah, but we can
falling down by
that.
14 at home to Miami.
Yeah, they're going
to
get better.
Needing a Hail Mary to beat New Orleans.
Last game was that game where, you didn't have anybody from defense, and they figured it out. They're going to get guys back.
Fred, can you eliminate that as part of the equation? Because everybody's dealing with the same thing.
I think that what the emailer was saying is, if they get all these guys back, do you see them having a chance?
No. Against Denver, no, I don't.
Wow. Wow. See, I do.
Now, maybe in a regular season game, but not in a game that matters.
Right now, I may not pick the Patriots, but I think they have a chance.
Yeah, I don't. Now, things could change. The Broncos could lose four more starters. They've been losing them every week.
So you don't think with Vereen back, Talib back, Kelly back?
I don't think they can match up with Denver, no.
Wow.
I mean, do you want me to just lie and make you feel better?
No.
I mean, for eight games, I'm watching a team that I think is a coach away from being 2-6. I think Bill Belichick has been unbelievable. The way he's found ways to get just enough to win these games. I think it's been incredible. He doesn't even have Brady to rely on right now.
Well, that's why.
Brady's not playing at a great level.
The Patriots are going to get better. That offense is going to get better.
But why do you think everybody else gets worse?
I'm not saying they're going to get worse.
So why wouldn't Denver get better, is my point.
I think they've peaked.
Maybe when they get their players back, they'll get better.
They're going to plateau, just like the Patriots offense did in 2007.
I don't really understand.
Weather
what the
gets
point
worse,
is.
You know. that their offense is not going to get any better than it has been. Let's put it that way. And well, it's been unbelievable up until the last two games.
I can't argue with that. The offense isn't going to – they can't average 45 points a game for a whole
season.
Exactly. It can't get better.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to get worse, but it can't get better. Exactly. I agree with you.
Exactly. So, Patriots have a shot.
I mean, they had that game that they supposedly got blown out of. They lost 39-33.
I mean, obviously, if the Patriots beat Denver, it's going to be because the defense played an unbelievable game.
See, I think it would be the other way around. Yeah. I think in order to beat Denver, the offense is going to have to play an unbelievable game.
I think you got to limit –
because you ain't beating them 20-17.
You got to limit – Denver and Manning getting on the field, and you know they could do it with Tlaib and Kelly and all these great players.
Well, make
they
up
have.
Your mind: are they keeping Manning on the sideline, or is Kelly, you know, Warren Sapp and Deion Sanders going to keep him
both
on the field? Which
both.
One?
Both.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. By then, the run game Ridley will be firmly established.
I forgot to Jim Brown.
Right.
Jim Brown, Deion Sanders, and Warren Sapp.
Yeah. So you're saying that unless you have those types of players, you can't beat Denver?
No, I'm saying that you're overestimating the caliber of player that's out. That's all. Tlaib is huge. Tommy Kelly is not huge.
I think he helps against the run game.
Of course he helps.
Yeah.
Of course he helps. Yeah. Just like the guy they just traded for will help, I think, in that regard.
Yeah, I think you're going to be whistling a little bit of.
But I don't think that helps you much against Denver.
You're going to be whistling a different tune the week leading up to that Denver game because the Patriots will have shown you something.
Well, they're running out of time. They only have two games.
I know. They're going to go to Carolina and do some things.
So if they beat Carolina, that's going to be a different tune?
It's going to be how they play, Paul.
Do you think they're going to beat Carolina?
Right now.
How many games have they won that you didn't think they were going to win? The answer is zero.
Well, the Saints
I'll help
game.
You.
The Saints game was a little bit of.
But you thought they were going to win.
No, remember I said I picked them only because all of you picked the Saints.
I picked the Patriots that game.
Oh, then what was the game that I picked? No. Oh, Falcons.
Falcons might have been the game.
Yeah, Falcons.
But you thought they were going to win.
Yes, I thought they were going to beat
games.
The Saints.
And one of the games they lost, you picked them to lose, I believe, didn't you? Didn't you get Cincinnati right? Didn't you pick the Bengals?
Yes, that's right.
So they haven't really surprised you.
But I'm saying by the time they play, you're going to see a different team, Paul.
Fred, maybe we will. But I don't just
this is all.
There's a difference between saying I think they're going to get better and that they are better.
This is all building up to a big showdown at Gillette against Peyton Manning and Wes.
But will
Walker.
It be?
I think so. I think now is it wishful thinking? Yes.
I am looking forward to the game because unlike most of these games, I do think both of those teams will be in the playoffs. And I look forward to those games. Those are good regular season games. But I don't think the Broncos are going anywhere. And I don't think the Patriots are going anywhere. I don't mean going anywhere like to the going away.
They're going to be
in January, they're going to still be playing.
I know what you mean.
They're going to be playoff teams, both of those teams. Here's one that's really interesting for you. I know we're only halfway through the season, so this is kind of silly. What if Kansas City keeps winning?
Huh?
What if Denver ends up with the wild card?
Right.
And comes here.
Right,
I don't want that.
That's unbelievable.
Imagine playing them in a wild card.
They could be a
game.
Lower seed than the Patriots.
Yeah, but I mean, just think about that.
Yeah,
I mean, they're only one game ahead of the Patriots anyway. So it's not like it's like a travesty,
right? In the one, you know, they played a good team and they lost to them. So, you know, we'll see about Denver.
Yeah, but I just think there's a chance that could happen.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, the AFC is. They have like four or five teams that are pretty good, and everybody else stinks.
Right.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, you have the Colts, the Bengals, the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Chiefs.
Right.
Everybody else stinks right now. Now, listen, your whole they'll get better theory, I mean, maybe someone will emerge. You know, I don't know.
Dan the Byman says, I think Big Head just got his wet dream realized.
Uh-oh.
Samoan in Patriots uniform. Hopefully this move can be turning point for the better. I got a question. What's the deal with the Canadian guy? When is he coming back from NFI? If he is back, our pass rush can be more improved. Definitely a good for the second half of the season. Armin Armstead, I don't know when he's coming back.
He still hasn't practiced.
Still hasn't practiced. And I don't know if he's going to do anything once he comes here. We assume that he's going to be
I always get confused by these things, too. I'm not mistaken, this is the last week he can return to practice. If they don't practice him this week, I think that the window closes. But I don't know. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's 3 weeks he sits out, and then next week, next Monday or Tuesday, or whatever the day. You know, I guess it wouldn't be Tuesday; it would be Wednesday. But who knows with the bye week? How that? I don't know.
I know Andy was very impressed by the one interview that he did with him, but you know, I have no idea what to expect with him if and when he gets to the field.
The emailer is right in terms of his resume. He's considered to be a interior pass rusher who can provide some heat. And now again, it's not going to be like 12 sacks if he played all year, but he's considered to be a good pass rusher for an inside guy. We don't know what he is, and we don't know how weak he got with this infection. And, you know, we talked about Gronkowski hasn't been able to lift because of the infection. I don't know what this guy's infection was, you know, what part of the body.
My wishful thinking for improvement on the Patriots does not include him in the scenario.
I agree. Your point, and you're right, is you need to get Vereen in the mix on offense and keep Amendola and Gronkowski healthy and then hope that Brady starts clicking with those with those guys.
And Ridley.
And continuing to run the ball, at least a little bit.
Right. Let's see.
And defensively, you get Tlaib back, and you're able to sort of lock it down a little bit like you did early in the season in the secondary. And I think all those things are very realistic, by the way.
Steven Cape Cod says, wouldn't it be an impossibility to be the only team to make a trade? It takes two to make a trade.
Good call.
Yep. He's right. It takes two to tango. And I think that's why there are no other trades. I think there were a lot of teams that wanted to make trades, but couldn't get them together. Michelle, she loves it when I call her Shalata. Says, I'm so happy we got a defensive tackle, even though I wanted Ratliff. I'm even more happy for Andy, who finally got his Samoan. 38-17 Patriots. You feeling good about this Pittsburgh game?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Yes. Too. And you know why? Because Pittsburgh just makes too many mistakes. And against the team that feasts on those mistakes, causes a lot of them, I think it's a bad matchup for Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh's that bad. Not as bad as their numbers and record, but they're not very good either.
Yeah.
Look at them. The first game of the season, they lost three guys for the season. You know, it's like everybody is. This is like it's your whole thing. Like it just stinks that you can't watch football anymore because every team is dealing somewhere between 50% and 75%.
Right. Even I don't like that. John in South Carolina.
You root for it to happen, but you don't like it.
I know I'm just an idiot fan, but surely, Paul, you do not think the game against Denver is hopeless?
Pretty close.
Wow. Pat and Agawam.
That doesn't mean I'm right. I don't understand why that bothers people. I mean, I've been picking games all year, and I've been wrong.
Pat and Agawam says, I usually agree with Paul, but I don't on the Patriots losing to the Broncos in a game that matters. Let's not forget that Peyton Manning has that Brett Favre knack for throwing the big pick when it matters the most. I'm not saying that Brady's been exponentially better than him in the playoffs, but in the cold, on a playoff platform, I'll take TB. Manning doesn't have to fall back on playing his home games in a dome anymore. That's true. It's true.
I mean, listen, anything can happen. No question about it. I'm just looking at the teams. I think they're better than the Patriots. That's all.
Fun fact from strippers. Patriots have made the AFC Championship game 6 out of 7 times when they finished 12-4 or better. Made it to the Super Bowl 7 out of 12 times when they finished 11-5 or better. Okay.
It's just a fun fact.
It's all it is.
Absolutely.
It's just a fun fact. We were talking.
I mean, I think their dominance is pretty much unparalleled. Right?
We were talking about what the penalty is for not showing up to court when you get a subpoena. Josh in Arlington, Virginia says it's like being held in contempt of court.
That's what I figured.
It could land them in the can, but they aren't likely to fly to Miami to pick them up for that.
Now, is it one of those deals that you can make? He does have sort of a different kind of job. Would there be any kind of extenuating circumstance? Like, it's a Wednesday? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think they care about that, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm asking. Yeah. You know, I know this is hard for you to believe, Fred. You know, I grew up in Everett and all, but I've never been subpoenaed. No. I don't have any experience in this area. Hey, how about Louis Tiant and Carlton Fisk tonight throwing out the first pitch?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Louis Tiant's going to throw to Pudge.
Nice. Game 6.
Now, you were probably like a Mets fan then, 75.
Oh,
right?
No.
No?
No.
Didn't win?
I was living on the Cape.
Oh.
By then.
Okay.
And I remember that
very well.
So you
were rooting for the Reds?
My father asleep on the couch and watching the game in the den. And when Bernie Carbo hit the home run, you know, that was woke him up. And then we saw Carlton Fisk hit the home run. Yeah. So that was good. I remember that. Sure, 1975.
It's amazing that they lost that series.
Yeah, that was a shame. Were they a better team?
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
No, Cincinnati was better.
They were better?
Yeah.
The big red machine?
But the Sox did have a 3-0 lead in Game 7.
Yeah.
So they easily could have won. And they kind of got screwed in Game 3, too, with a bad call. Ed Armbrister,
right. Dan in Virginia. The other good thing about Soap and Bubbles is that he gives new material to the sports commentators who are getting tired of mentioning how hard Hooman's name is to pronounce, as well as giving Fred another name to mangle, along with McCurdy, Blount, Harrington, and so forth, which Fred already did in the first 5 minutes of the show. Fred Kirsch, check.
You called him Harrington?
I don't know who I called Harrington.
Kyle Harrington? Did you call him Harrington?
I was accused of that. I might have been breathy that day, but I certainly did not.
Oh, I believe it.
There's no upside to calling Arrington Harrington.
I believe. Well, what's the upside of calling McCourty McCurdy?
It's just funny.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, but there's no. You know,
it's funny that you don't know you're mispronouncing the name.
Arrington and Harrington doesn't make a big difference, you know.
Okay.
By the way, did anyone else notice the irony of Andy, it's always on his mind, Hart, being offended by Ryan's crotch grab? Maybe. I don't know. He just likes it as, you know, jokes. He doesn't like it when people do things in public.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a difference there.
Dan also says, is part of the Gronk multimedia empire the fact that he does realize his career might be over? So he's making the big push, grabbing as much as he can now and striking while the iron is lucrative. Anyhow, one of the Patriots already is a cartoon character. Doesn't Amendola bear a striking resemblance to Wile E. Coyote in his constant taking of apparently catastrophic injuries only to get back up and get back at it?
I see that what you're doing there.
Yeah. Maybe.
What do you think? The Gronkowski thing.
I was thinking about that, you know.
I don't think his career is close to over.
No, but they might think that now's the time.
I think the contract is big for them.
Yeah.
I think that they don't get that bonus until whenever, 15, right. I think. And I think that's on their mind.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're looking at it as their career is almost over.
But when you have an injury like that, it makes you kind
of. 1918 footage? Yeah. That's pretty good.
You know, you have second thoughts. Like Brady said, you know, when he had his knee, you know, you realize that this thing could end at any time. And a stupid thing like a broken forearm, you know, you get that infection, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you take another look at things, and you realize, wow, you know, this thing may not last 12 years. It could end tomorrow, and I do have to take advantage of every opportunity I have right now. You never know. You could be thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between that and having him really think that his career is almost over. I think you, as an athlete, you recognize you could be one hit away from your career being over, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think he's looking at the arm as like, geez, this arm might never be right.
No, but it made him think about, if not the arm now, it could be something tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That I agree with.
Running checklist for people potentially offended by this week's show. So far, women, Mormons, Ray Ray, fat people, Samoans, little people, and counting.
Why women?
Well, always women.
Okay.
I think we're just...
Poor Ray Ray. I mean, that was ridiculously uncalled for.
It's not really an offensive thing. It's sort of a compliment.
What?
That he wants to see her on a trampoline. Right?
Poor Ray Ray.
I mean, what if he said...
Fred is seconding that emotion.
What if he said, I didn't want to... I wasn't interested.
Or he could have just not mentioned her name at all.
Exactly.
Well, that's the better
and not offended anyone.
That's the better alternative, but I'm trying to spin it now that he has. Right? And why are you eating and we're not?
We're eating
it's
after,
an apple.
I guess.
Oh, it's an apple?
I guess we're eating afterward.
What do you mean afterward?
After Paul's what? Got the plan. I just got a phone call.
The food's not going to be available until about 1:45.
1:45?
So we'll just get on to the media workroom when we're done. It's a catered affair.
Do these people have no respect for lunchtime?
It's Young Hartwell.
What catered affair?
Evidently, it's a catered affair.
Really? By who?
I don't know.
You mean it's fancy?
It's fancy today because the Revs have media availability for the playoffs.
Big playoffs.
And
series,
the Pats
Fred.
Have Wednesday, so they're combining it into like a big media meal.
Fred, I wanted to ask you a little about the MLS playoffs.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
They have the line set up for the game.
Yeah.
Is there not a... specification for dimensions of a soccer field in the MLS?
Sure there are.
No, I don't think there are.
Just whatever you want.
The field, same thing in the NHL.
The field is shorter than it normally is right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. The NHL, they're all 200 by 100.
No, I thought there were bigger. There were some rinks that were bigger.
Check it. College hockey, there's varying sizes of rinks.
Well, maybe they changed that.
I'm pretty sure there's a standard
in
the NHL.
There was a time when the Bruins rink was smaller than other rinks.
But you're going back 20 years, 25 years to the old garden.
So then they changed it.
But that's a long time ago.
All right. But at one time, you could have a different size rink. I know that.
Oh, yeah. No, you could at one time, but I'm pretty sure that they got rid of that.
They got rid of that?
When the old buildings stopped. You know, once the old buildings were all out, when you build a new one, that you had to have a rink.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's 200 by 100, but
don't
call me out on the dimensions.
I thought soccer was 110 yards.
I don't know what the dimensions are, but I always thought it was the same.
Because me too.
I thought that some of the venues couldn't host because they didn't have the right. Maybe it was like World Cup. Maybe World Cup games have to be a certain.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have to be on grass.
So why do you say that it's smaller than it usually is?
Right now it is. I was
how
up in the press because I was up in the press box shooting 3 points of Perillo this morning.
You can tell by the eye it's shorter.
You can see the old lines.
Oh.
You know when you do on field turf and you paint it, you can always see remnants of the old
maybe
lines.
Maybe they messed up and they had to.
I think no. And you know in the end zones they have the Patriots logo with the little Elvis?
Yeah.
Well, they got rid of the little Elvis, and the back line now goes through, like, underneath the Patriots end zone line. It usually would go right through that Patriots, so maybe they didn't want to erase the whole Patriots thing.
Hmm. Maybe it's a...
It's definitely smaller.
Competitive advantage. They want to shorten the field.
Maybe. You going?
When?
Playoff game.
When is that?
Kevin, Saturday night?
Saturday night at 8.
Oh, jeez.
Might as well, Fred. Just stay
and
spend the
night.
What else
you got to do? Take your pants off at home?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I might go. You know, I don't see anything else that I need to do that day.
It's a big, big series. Right? Now, what is it, like two games?
I don't know.
What does it go, like aggregate
it's
score?
It's a two-game aggregate.
Yeah. I have a lot of yard work to do that day, but I might treat myself to a Revs game that night.
Yeah. It's just too far for me. Will's soccer team has been asking me about it.
Warren Ladd, one of our UK Patriot friends, says pitches can be different sizes at different grounds. However, in the UK, the pitch has to stay the same size the whole season at that stadium. So that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think that they have changed this season at based on what I saw today, the dimensions.
TG and NJ,
just something that like caught my attention.
TG and NJ says, guys, don't worry. The Gronk show won't happen. They got nothing. Like Paulie said, they are not that interesting. Not enough substance there for a TV series. Probably got some dumbass publicist giving them some bad advice, most likely. And the reason the Patriots got snubbed on the Monday night opening credits is because that stuff is put together in New York City by some local Jets fans, most likely. Who do we expect
that
to
could
see
be right.
back from injuries following the bye week?
Talib and Kelly.
Yeah. I don't think Talib's going to play this week.
And I think you'll see Vereen. You know, here's a good wild card for you. I think Vereen's first game will be the Denver game, Fred.
He could play Carolina.
I don't think he can.
Oh, he can't?
Maybe he can. Maybe it is Carolina.
I think he can play
Maybe
Carolina.
It is Carolina.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, because the bye week. Yeah, you're right. Carolina.
That's a good point on the New York. I've always thought that all these leagues have their headquarters in New York, NHL, NBA, NFL. And I think they should move them out of there. It's too New York-centric, all these leagues. You know, it's full of staffers from that are Giants and Jets fans and Mets and Yankee fans. And, you know, who needs that?
You really think there's a bias?
Absolutely. Oh, you don't? Come on. Of course there is.
No, and something like that, like a highlight package or something like that, I wouldn't dismiss what TG just said.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, rulings and whatnot, biases.
Oh, not rulings.
No,
but
I don't.
But the way that you get it out of New York. Too much of a New York
put it in Foxborough.
No, not maybe Idaho or something like that. You know? A state that doesn't have a team. I know they want to be in a place where there's airports you can get in and out of, but, you know.
Idaho.
Yeah. Place with that doesn't have its own team.
I got a hearing to see if I get suspended this week. I got to go to Boise.
You know, Nebraska or Kansas or something like that. Well, they got actually the Chiefs are Missouri.
Correct.
So you could put them in Kansas.
I think that's where the NCAA was for a long time.
Yeah.
It's now in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But it used to be in Overland Park, Kansas.
Yep. Too much of a New York influence all the time.
Yeah, I hate New York as much as anybody, yeah. So if you want to take it out of there, that's fine with me.
Yep.
I just don't necessarily think it needs to go to Idaho.
Dan's in Fort Lauderdale, and he's going to tell us about soccer field dimensions. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up, guys? I appreciate all you guys do for us fans here outside of New England area.
Thank you.
So soccer dimensions basically are the dimensions that vary from 100 yards to 130 yards in length and from 50 to 100 yards in length. So basically you can have very wide. Yeah, the width can vary. So you can have very wide fields where, teams with wingers, they are fast, they can take advantage of that and therefore change the tactics of the game.
So you're saying you can have a 100-yard wide field?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, in some areas in Argentina.
Is that FIFA approved?
That's like playing in a square field.
Yeah, now international matches have to be, the length has to be from 110 to 120 yards. And the width has to be from 70 to 80. So that's more obviously controlled for international matches.
Wow.
But as far as in general, from the most, countries here, MLS, Europe, you name it, that is not, for UEFA, international, CONCACAF, CONMEBOL, all those tournaments, yes, you have to have these more restricted dimensions.
Hmm.
What it cannot vary is the goal area has to be 6 yards.
Right.
The penalty box, 18 yards. 12 yards for the penalty, for the mark, and the flag post, and the length of all the other dimensions within the field play can always have to always.
Yeah. Be.
See, I always think the bigger the pitch, the better, because you need to spread it out. You get it to a small field, and there's too much hanging on and mugging. And I like seeing the plays develop. I like the long passes. I like a bigger pitch so they can spread it out.
Very nice. So you like the Premier League?
I do.
Wide field.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so much tiki-taki like in Spain and Italy, where the defensive schemes are different. Hey,
yes.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I love your show. I'll listen from now on.
Okay.
Thanks,
Daniel. Yeah. EPL over Serie A any day. Bundesliga. Too much grabbing. I like wide open offense.
All right. I can't argue, unfortunately, much as I like to. The more I'm thinking of it, I guess.
About this lunch thing.
Well, I guess the.
Can you get me a Diet Pepsi to tide me over?
Yeah, I could use
Kevin,
one.
That'd
too,
be great. Thank
Kevin.
You very much.
But I guess the. It's not that uncommon. I guess, if you think about it, football obviously is on a very regimented grid.
Right.
But. Like baseball fields are all different dimensions.
Well, not the base pass.
No.
Outside the diamond, they
are. But he just explained
yeah.
It's the same in soccer. Like
yeah.
The penalty box and
right.
the, all that. That's all of those things. The penalty area is regimented, just like the base pass. But outfields have different dimensions, and
yep.
It can be big outfields and small outfields.
No, basketball's all the same.
Basketball's the same. And I'm pretty sure hockey's the same now, too. But not surprisingly, you couldn't get us the answer there. Nothing.
You were right, Paul.
Oh, and no wonder why we didn't get the answer. Oh, now we see.
200 by 85.
Must be a Democrat.
200
oh, it's
by
200
85.
By 85, not by 100. Okay.
All right. Smelly Mike in beautiful Florida. Any thought about Brady's longer than usual slump having to do with no more Tom Martinez?
I don't know. I don't think that's a big part of it. I think he's dealing with something.
Yeah.
A combination of physical. And just the lack of comfort with the guys he's throwing to. I think those two things have conspired to send him in a little bit of a tailspin.
He also wants to know, would the worst coach in the NFL use their slowest skill player to return kicks? I would like some kind of real explanation or thoughtful hypothesis as to why Bill Belichick does. At least a tiny percentage of offensive ineptitude may have to do with poor field position. And by the way, please, less treadmill talk and more Fred accents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting.
I think he thinks that in terms of hands, Blunt has the best hands, and we don't get a lot of returns anyway these days.
Blunt has the best hands?
Yes.
Blunt has one of the worst set of hands on the team.
No.
The whole team.
Not
there's
catching.
There's linemen that have better hands.
No.
He's a fumbler, and he doesn't catch the
He's
ball
He's not
well.
A fumbler.
He is a fumbler.
No.
Fred, that's what he is. He's a fumbler, and he doesn't catch the ball well. There's nothing about his hands that are good.
Well, then why would he do it over the other guys?
I told you my theory.
I know, but that's just you being
I
Paul.
Think that he feels that he's a big guy, and once he gets going, he can move, and he'd be tough to bring down in the open field. Now, he hasn't been able to get in the open field on a kick yet, but I think that's – if you want to look for something rational, I don't agree with it, I think that's what he's thinking.
Yeah. I mean, most
he's
of the –
He's lost 7 fumbles in 3.5 years.
That's a lot. Including one this year, by the way.
I think that when you look at kick returns, once in a while things just open up for a returner and anyone could run through it. But most of the time, there's a move or two that the returner makes to
And that's why I don't
make
think he's
happen.
A good candidate.
Right. Exactly. That's
But
my
we
point.
Have seen him on some long runs, both in the preseason and the one
oh,
against
yeah.
the
once
Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Once he gets going.
Where
yeah.
he can get into the open field, and then he's a load.
Right.
Once he gets going, he's tough to bring down, and I think that's what Bill's thinking. If I can get this guy out past the 30, then maybe he's going to be a tough guy to drag down. But I just think that the emailer's right. I think that is part of the problem on offense, is we're constantly dealing with tough field position.
Do you think that once the weather changes a little bit and kicks get a little shorter, he might switch that up and put somebody else back there?
Why?
Because there's more of a chance that there's be more return.
Well, he's not back there because they don't think there's a chance there's going to be a return.
I think that he's really showing the league his disdain for the kickoff these days.
And that's rational, but my theory is not. My theory is not.
Vishon from New York.
You, we even got a better kick returner than we traded.
Vishon from New York. I strongly disagree with Paul on his yesterday take on Belichick benching Welker back in 2010 for the divisional game against the Jets. He claimed that it was the wrong time and place, but I don't think it was. Welker directly attacked Rex, and I believe made more than 10 foot references in that
he did.
Infamous press
All that
conference.
Stuff is true. I just don't think that it was that big a deal.
He deserved to be punished for that. Belichick made the right move. I don't think it was a symbolic move. I don't think that's why the Patriots lost that game.
Oh, no, I don't either. I didn't say that.
It was symbolic.
I don't think he needed to be benched at all. I think that he said something that was silly. He was poking fun, and he got his panties in a bunch.
Well, you know, look, I...
To me, this is different. This is stuff that can cost you on the field. That, you know, certainly the Ryan one should have drawn a flag, and it didn't. The Ridley one to me is much less egregious, but I would be shocked. First of all, I don't know for certain that this was discipline related the other day, but assuming that it was, I would be shocked if Bill didn't say something about this taunting stuff beforehand,
right?
And then had them do this, and that's why he reacted the way he did.
Right.
To me, this is much different.
Dan writes in, I'm not going to start the why did we let Welker go dialogue, as I was on board with getting younger, but have you noticed just how many red zone targets he's gotten? Obviously, Denver has a lot more targets to clear space, but there was a time when we had similar options, and I feel like Brady barely targeted Welker in the red zone at all when he was here.
Yeah, the only thing about that is Gronk got them all, and he caught them all. So,
and before Gronk, there was Moss.
No, but what I'm saying is, You can sit there and look and say, well, the Patriots aren't very good in the red zone, and maybe they should have thrown the ball to Welker more. But the Patriots were outstanding in the red zone.
Right.
While throwing the ball to Welker a little, but Gronk a lot, or Hernandez a lot, or Randy Moss a lot. So what was the beat? Who cares who catches it? That's right. Why, like I always tell you, I don't care about catches and stuff like that. Someone's going to end up with the catch. Someone's going to end up with the touchdown. You know, Stephen Ridley had 12 touchdowns last year. If he got 12, if he only had 6 and Brandon Bolden had 4 and Danny Woodhead had 4, like, does that matter?
No.
Who gets it? No. But to me, you were a dominant offense for a time with those guys, right?
Right.
Was there anything we ever complained about offensively
right.
except for, again, in the playoffs, they didn't seem like they had a guy who could stretch the field.
I don't remember anyone while Welker was here saying, why doesn't he get
why doesn't
more,
he
red,
get
zone
more
targets?
Red zone touches?
It was not an issue
because
they were
Because
productive.
Gronkowski was getting 17 touchdowns.
Right.
And right now in Denver, They don't have one guy with 17 touchdowns. They have three guys with like eight or nine. You know, Julius Thomas is getting a bunch. Welker's getting a bunch. Demaryius Thomas is getting a bunch. Decker probably going to start getting a few more too. They have so many options and they just spread it around. You could argue it's better to do it that way. I wouldn't. I have no problem with throwing the ball to Gronkowski until someone proves they could stop him. Same with Moss. They couldn't stop him, right?
Right.
The year that Moss had 23 touchdowns, I think Welker had eight. You know, that's, I mean, just think about how many touchdowns they scored. They set a record. It's the most touchdowns ever, right?
Right. On Gronk, while I don't think it's time to move him, I think Fred will agree when I say there is a disturbance in the force. That's a good way of putting it.
I'm not ready to move him either.
Also, Graham is a little bit better at this point. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Finally, since you discussed what quarterbacks shout out at the line, there's probably no better time to bring this up. Have you ever listened to some of these quarterbacks at the line, especially Aaron Rodgers? It seems as though he shouts out exactly the same thing just before the snap. Probably overthinking it, but I find it strange the D linemen aren't blowing blockers off the line with these predictable snap counts.
You're probably right. I haven't paid that close attention. But I'm sure teams do. They're looking for tendencies.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's part of the scouting.
Let's see. Tony writes in, what's going on with Armstead and Harrison? We don't know. They just haven't practiced yet. And Jeff in Moncton, Canada, about the headphones, I find that when I listen to the show on my Samsung tablet, the audio will go silent a few times through the show. Never have a problem when listening on my laptop. Okay. I don't know. The different operating systems could be an issue. Paul's checking his Twitter. Anything there, Paul? Anybody saying anything good?
I don't believe. Someone said Armstead has until week 11 to practice. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'll take their word for it. Maybe they're right, but that's 5 weeks. That would seem to be one more.
Mm.
I thought next week was when they had to start practicing.
I just
want to
know what this infection was.
But he might be right. They might be right.
What the hell's going on with him that he is out this long?
He just might have missed all of camp, and they're not even going to bother with it. It could be something as simple as that,
just
Fred.
Just put him on IR. John, and who would want to live here, Pennsylvania?
But Fred, if you have until week 11, you don't just put him on IR. You wait, because maybe you need him by week 11.
Maybe.
And if he's on IR, you can't put him back.
I know.
You wait as long as you can.
I just don't see him doing much. He's not on my radar. I'm not,
That I agree with.
I'm not holding my breath until he comes back. Hey, guys, I want to give you all props for a consistently entertaining and informative show. I also have a question that's been bugging me for a while. Why isn't Andy back yet, by the way?
The locker room is still open.
Yeah, but all he had to do was get the interview and then leave.
Well, I mean, you should, you're in the locker room. You should talk to people.
I also have a question that's been bugging me for a while. In the Super Bowl against the G-Men, Brady.
G-Men, which one?
Brady threw a bomb to Gronk in the end zone. Gronk wasn't in position, and he just watched the corner catch the ball without doing much. Last week, Brady threw the ball to Gronk, and it wasn't a well-thrown ball. But again, Gronk did nothing to defense the ball. Does Bill and the other coaches teach receivers how to go after the ball if the defender is in the better position? Do we know what he's talking about here?
No.
I'm
not really sure. I don't remember a ball last week that went to Gronk that almost got picked off that Gronk didn't do anything about.
Right. I mean, the one where they got the penalty, the guy that almost picked it off came from behind Gronk and went through his left shoulder, so he wouldn't even have known he was there.
The one in the Super Bowl that I think he's talking about that got picked off, I think had as much to do with his ankle as anything else. I think he was running,
right,
and I don't think he could sort of stop and plant and change directions.
Yep.
It was underthrown badly, and I think Blackburn ended up picking it off, if I'm not mistaken.
And I doubt that Belichick doesn't teach these guys, because I remember distinctly.
Yeah, of course they do.
With Troy Brown, when he broke up that pass in San Diego and saved that game.
Well, that wasn't a broken-up pass. The guy picked it off, and he stripped him.
Well, yeah, but
he
became a defenseman. I remember, Bill Belichick talking about how guys need to, when when they don't have a chance to catch it, making sure that the other guy doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
and turning and becoming a defenseman.
No question that they do that. But you might have had a couple of examples that you remember that you thought Gronk didn't do a good enough job on it. You know, there's certainly times that the guy doesn't do a good job. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about the one that got picked off last week, the first pass. Mm-hmm. Brady's first pass, because that was intended for Gronk. It was behind him, and the guy picked it off. I don't think Gronk realized right away what had happened. But that was a bad throw, too.
Charlotta sends me an article from SI that clearly shows what Pouncey's options are. I'll skip to right where it says, Pouncey can respond to the subpoena in three ways, comply, object, or ignore. If Pouncey complies with the subpoena, he would testify under oath and provide requested documents. One downside to compliance is that while Pouncey's attorney could be with him during the grand jury proceeding, the lawyer could not raise objections. Then he could agree to testify but invoke the Fifth. They can file a motion to quash the subpoena, or he could just ignore it. He is unlikely to pursue that strategy, however, as he would be held in contempt of court. He would then be sent to jail until he cooperates or until the grand jury is finished. Grand juries in Massachusetts can last for months, so it would not be a short stay behind bars. So it sounds like if you have a lawyer, you can delay this thing.
Right.
Yeah. So there's the answer to that. Thank you, Charlotta. I know you like it when I call you that.
You're insane.
Brian in Essex. Andy was on his way back from the locker room when he got a dumbbell to the head from behind by someone who may or may not be Ray Ray.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
No witnesses were present.
Ray Ray was headed to the locker room, too, so that's a possibility.
Okay. Let's see. Garland says, back to Denver, wouldn't you prefer to play Denver at home versus at Denver?
Oh, yeah.
I would prefer to see the Chiefs win their division. I love the trade that the Patriots – yeah.
I think you're – who is this?
Garland.
Garland. Right on board with you.
I love the trade that the Patriots did, and now that people are starting to come back, I'm feeling very optimistic about the rest of the season. I'm with Fred. Patriots have a chance of beating Denver in a playoff, especially at home. Brady needs to quit his big – put his big boy pants on and start playing better. Love that he ran for a first down last week. Hopefully we will see the old Brady – for the last half of the season.
Certainly, if the passing game can play at the level that we're used to, they become contenders, no doubt. At this point, halfway through the season, I'm very skeptical that that's going to happen.
Okay.
And you think the running game will make up for it. I don't.
I think it'll help. I think they got a shot. I'm going to put it together.
But don't make this out that I don't think they have a shot, because I know how you like to play with the words and
you
stuff.
You said they have very little chance of beating the Broncos.
But that's not saying that they don't have a shot
against
anybody else. They might have to play Denver. What if you don't have to play Denver?
That's true.
What if Denver chokes against someone else?
That's true. Like in 95, was it?
96. They didn't have to play the Broncos.
That's right.
But there's a lot of different ways that things can happen. Right now, halfway through the season, I don't like the Patriots' chances in a playoff game, really against anybody. But there's a lot of season left, a lot of football to be played. The other teams could be going in one direction, and you could go in the other. And then all of a sudden, you're a favorite.
We've got two open lines if anyone wants to call at 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. Nobel writes in from Virginia. I know there are probably
prize?
A lot. What's that?
Prize?
Nobel, that's how you say it. Nobel okay. Prize. I know there are probably a lot of people disappointed about the Patriots not making a move to get a wide receiver yesterday, but I really feel like they made a trade that will help them out in the postseason. The move yesterday seems like it will help to get this defense closer to what it was the start of the season. It looks like we got that fire hydrant that you guys talk about, and I really believe that if we are going anywhere this year, it will be riding the defense. Not only that, I think that a trade for a wide receiver would have hurt the team more than helped. Giving Brady a binky only stunts the development of Tompkins and, more importantly, Dobson, who I feel is getting close to being good. When we have a healthy Brady, Gronk, Edelman, Vereen, Ridley, and a better Dobson, I feel like this offense will be as good as the Colts' offense was before the Wayne injury, and we will have a better defense than they had. And the Colts have the blueprint to beat not only beat the only teams that could stand in our way for Super Bowl, the Broncos, Seahawks, and the 49ers. Okay. And the Colts have the blueprint.
The Colts
yeah,
have
but
a
they
blueprint
wouldn't play the Seahawks,
what?
The 49ers. Do they play them during the regular season?
They did.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
But I don't really understand. Well, they played San Francisco. But,
well, I think he's saying if they can have that blueprint, we with a better defense.
No, I think
have...
he's thinking they're going to knock those teams out. And
no.
I don't understand why. Listen, I don't understand why. I don't understand why the Colts can do something to Denver, but not to you.
Right.
Can you explain that to me?
They could.
Like, are the Colts formidable or not? I think they're pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I do. I think they're pretty good.
I mean, you could, I mean, but we're looking at that as they can't beat the Patriots. Like, why? I think they're pretty good.
I don't think he said that.
I think he did. I think that's exactly what he said. Their defense isn't as good as the Patriots. Why? Based on what?
Well, I think he's saying that if the Colts could beat Denver.
Then you could.
Then we can beat
Why are
Denver.
You better than the Colts? That's what I'm asking.
Because our defense.
The Colts
is
have played better teams than the Patriots have.
Our defense is better than the. Or
is it?
Will be better.
Based
than,
on what is my question? That's what I'm asking
on,
you.
Based on how it started and what it will be once we get some guys back.
Okay, what if the guys don't come back? That's the other
well,
one.
Well, then that's a whole different story.
But you're just assuming that everybody comes back and no one else gets hurt.
Everybody's coming back.
But you just lost another player last week. So you get one back, you're probably going to lose another one. This is what I'm talking
about.
Well,
the Vollmer's on offense.
And you can't move the ball. This is what I'm saying.
We'll be fine.
Okay, listen, if that's the analysis, if that's where you want to drop it, okay. I'm okay with that.
Alex and Philly.
I just look at some of these teams, and I don't dismiss them the way you guys do. To me, it's not just about Denver.
I don't think he was dismissing the Colts.
I think he did.
No, I think he was saying if they can...
They have the blueprint to beat these other teams for us, is what he's saying.
No, not for us.
But they can't beat us.
I think he's saying that these other teams are beatable, and the Colts proved it.
Anybody is beatable. No one's undefeated.
Well,
Kansas City.
You seem to think that Denver is pretty much unbeatable.
For the Patriots, not for the rest
of
the league.
Right, and what he's saying is the Colts can do it, we can do it.
And I'm saying, why do you think that?
Because
what are you basing it on?
Because we're as good as
the Colts went to San Francisco and laid a smackdown. Who did the Patriots do that to?
Well, we don't have a chance.
Atlanta?
Yet. We haven't had a shot yet.
Well, they have, and they lost.
Well, the Colts,
they went to Cincinnati and lost.
Once we get healthy, we would be capable
That's
of
a San Francisco-like team, Cincinnati. You lost.
Once we are healthy, we'll be capable of doing the same thing. That's all he's saying.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying they're better than the Colts, and I'm asking
no,
you
no,
why.
I don't think he's saying we're better than the Colts. I think he's saying we're as good when we're healthy.
And I'm asking you why. What are you basing that on? That's what I'm asking you.
Just what he's seeing.
Just wishful thinking.
The defense is pretty good.
Wishful thinking.
Well.
But that's all you're basing it on.
Well, you don't think that when this defense was clicking, it looked pretty good this year?
The defense has played well all year. The only game that I don't think the Patriots played really well on defense, really, was the Jets.
Right.
I think for the most part, they've been pretty good on defense. Even New Orleans, when they gave up a lot of points, I thought they made New Orleans really work for it. I thought they played really well. Offensively, they've been abysmal.
Right. But they're going to get better.
So the Colts were able to beat Denver 39-33. Can you win that game?
Possibly.
Based on what?
Based on, you can say the same thing about Denver that you're saying about the Patriots. Denver really hasn't played very good teams. So you're basing.
They've played better teams than you have.
You're basing, you know, when they went up against the Cowboys, they let up 49 points.
I know, but they scored 52 and
I
won the game.
I understand that. But the Cowboys' defense isn't as close as good
it's
as the Patriots.
51-48.
Yeah, 50, whatever.
The Cowboys' defense is as good as the Patriots.
I don't know
this
about
is
that.
What I'm saying. Why do you think you
I
have the 2000 Ravens? This is what I'm asking you. What are you basing all your different things on? The Patriots haven't played any good offenses, so their numbers look really good.
Well. Okay, so
the other teams that have played really good offenses don't have as good of numbers as you
so
do.
So what you're saying is the Patriots defense isn't as good as
it's,
we think it is.
It's good, but is it good enough to shut down Denver?
I don't know if you have to shut them down.
I think you do, because you can't score.
Yeah, I think the offense is going to get better.
Okay, again, if you're just wishful thinking, we can stop.
Yeah.
That's all the Patriots have played absolutely fine on defense. I have no problems with the Patriots defense. None. But to me, when you have a good offense, it's like the Saints.
Right.
The Patriots couldn't play any better than they did defensively against the Saints. How many points did they allow? 27. You're not going to shut down good offenses. You're just not going to. Can you score enough to win? That's the question.
Andy's back, finally. You know, taking your time. Oh, and Eric's back, too. Everybody's back.
Well, I'll let you know when I talk to Dante Hightower.
You didn't get the interview?
Today,
no, Eric was
Junior!
Eric getting to know with Andre Carter, so I had to interrupt Eric's getting to know and say, Andre, would you mind filling in? Your teammate blew me off, and I need to get an interview.
Really?
Wow. Of course, being the nicest man on the planet,
he did it,
and he was great, and he's a good guy and all that. But
yeah. So we go, but we have the interview. That's good.
Okay. Yeah, we have not the Hightower.
No, well.
You got a better one anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Much better one.
I mean, he's a great interviewer.
Did you get a Pulse
great
story for
guy.
Me?
We got soap.
We got soap. Soapy. I figured you're doing that today.
Soapy. See, he stood on a chair.
That can be your what?
Yeah, he stood on a chair
because
there was such a big crowd and everything. So he got up on a chair.
He got up on a soapbox.
Well, he
nice!
Did.
Oh, that's what everybody was saying.
Yeah, that's
not as nice.
Yeah, not as nice.
I liked everybody. It better when Fred said it.
I just want to, you know, did somebody reinforce the chair?
Yeah, he's a big
a lot of man to be on top of a chair.
He's a big dude.
So you got that.
Yeah, we'll do Soapy.
And he's a god squatter, apparently.
Yeah. So the soapbox is literal and figurative.
Well, from the spaceship?
A koala squatter or whatever that guy's
from
name
the
was.
From
although
the
we have a dispute. Jackie says that's not true.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Jackie!
What's not true?
The whole god lives on a planet in space.
Thing. Oh, yeah. And there's more.
Oh, yeah,
there's more I could talk to, but I don't want to get into the religious.
Relive
discussion.
Your favorite Patriots memories at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Patheon.
Okay, Patheon.
Patheon.
Never heard that one.
How true it is, though. Wow. It's a little more relevant today because A, he's here and it's him, but he also got up and had a lot to say about the Lord and all that, the Holy Father or whatever the hell he called him.
Right.
Oh, that's nice. Whatever the hell he called him.
Big H. Him.
Yeah.
Oh. All due respect.
So what else is going on in the locker room?
I don't know. I just stood there. Mike Giardi and Matthew Mulligan.
Oh, yeah. They almost
brawl.
Had yeah.
Really? Wait,
yeah.
Wait, what?
Apparently Matthew Mulligan is not what he kind of looks at and can be easily irritated and has had number of run-ins with media. He's near Gronk.
He's from the battling Mulligans.
Over, if they spill over into his locker and stuff.
Tell. What happened?
Well, he had to go get the PR guy to ask people to get out of his knocker. It was kind of how it was worded at me.
Yeah.
From somebody else. There are two media members. Mike Giardi was one of them, and another prominent media member that I'll leave unnamed said, whoa, you're a grown-ass man, and you got to go get the media relations guy to ask somebody to move out of your locker. And apparently Matthew Mulligan, not making a lot of friends.
Took offense at that.
Well, that wasn't necessarily said. He took offense that there were people near his locker, and he wanted
everybody
out.
Did he have a case? I mean, was it?
Yes. Well, it was overflowing.
But everybody has a case.
Is.
It happens.
It always is.
Right.
And I
wonder, I've seen very few people get pissed off. Antoine Harris was one of them, and he was a bad guy. And now Matthew Mulligan.
And I wonder,
so
though,
he went to Giardi and said something.
No,
he
asked Giardi to move, and
Giardi
said, I just need to
finish this answer.
Because Gronk was in a good answer, I guess, about Ortiz.
Yeah.
Something baseball.
The Red Sox. And
he said, I'll move as soon as he's done with this answer. And he got pissy and went to PR to ask them to come have
And then
the
when they moved,
move.
He made a comment like, oh, nice of you to move the first time I asked you.
Yeah. He got pissy.
Something like that. It was.
And then I asked.
Did Giardi get his back up and play the role of Paul and start an argument about it?
Well, no, I think he
Well, he was
just
ranting
away.
Off to the side when I went to, you know, and then I kind of tried, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, you know, he's a badass from 100 feet away from
those NESCAC types. You never know what's going to happen.
But, yeah, he's apparently, I didn't know this. This isn't the first time it's happened. He's been a
I've never spoken to him.
I have, and he was very nice.
He was very nice.
But
we did the getting to know. He was great.
And but, apparently he's also a God squatter.
Oh,
and,
yeah, definitely. Big time.
Giardi was using that, you know, the guy's supposed to be a God squatter, and he's not a nice guy. Like,
well,
right
how many of those do you see?
A lot. There are a lot of hypocrites.
There's a lot more of those guys in the locker room than not.
That's true. But I also pondered whether it was Brandon Lloyd's locker, and I said, maybe the locker's just nuts.
Oh.
You know, it's infiltrated him.
You know what? I think
it's
that very
close.
Been.
A haunted
I think it might have been.
It's very close.
Yeah.
It's within one either way if
yeah,
it isn't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good day though for practice.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah,
was there.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Everybody,
Freddie's got him in the Super Bowl. Everybody's back.
Everybody plus one.
Oh, we've been arguing.
Wait, who's plus one?
Shane Vereen.
Yeah, oh, everybody's back. That's Fred's whole thing. Yeah. You know, it's Gronk,
he's not technically on the
active roster. It's Gronkowski, right? It's Gronkowski, Amendola, Vereen, and Ridley.
What is
everybody's back?
Everybody.
Yeah, that's the scale tipper is Ridley.
Oh.
Yeah, you laugh.
Well, back from what?
You laugh.
He's been
no,
been
but
out there.
You have him as part of the offense.
This will be at the end of the season. Paul, you really have to admit it that Fred was right, and then Paul will have some excuse why what he said now wasn't exactly what he said.
They're arguing about an argument they're going to have.
Well,
he's also making
Fred
up. He's making up an argument.
You're kind of playing Paul's side of the street now, arguing an argument that's not happening.
Right.
That's what Paul does. He's making it up.
He's pre-arguing.
That's what he does. Paul goes into every discussion if a hard argument breaks out, here's exactly what I'm going to say to this person.
Right. He's got it all planned out.
He does.
The argument would be what you think.
Now he's really mad.
Fred and I actually had a nice discussion going before you came in and bored us with the Matthew Mulligan talk.
I find it fascinating that a Jag backup tight end could be a jerk.
Well, how do we know? Why? I mean, Giardi might have, if you ask the guy to move and it's your locker, you don't want to hear.
I just got to finish this answer.
Well, you can still kind of move and still do your interview.
Not really.
No?
Lockers aren't big enough for the group settings.
For Gronk.
That's what I always wonder. Why don't they, the PR people should say when there's a guy who's that popular and they know it's going to be a popular day, pull him out from the locker so that there's a circle around him.
Right. Yeah.
And then the guys who are nearby can use their locker space.
Right.
He doesn't have to be sitting in his locker to talk to you. Right. He can be a few feet out there. Why don't they just do that?
The other night, I think Brady left his locker, maybe because Edelman he thought was going to speak
and got changed, and he put all his stuff
over by Gronk, but then by the time he was in that empty locker getting dressed, there was a gangbang at Gronk, and Brady, the world's most famous man, is literally tucked in a little corner with eight guys next to him pulling his pants up. It's just this
and
whole
you were
weird...
upset because you couldn't see him?
What are you talking about?
Brady.
That's Fred who stares at
me. I know
wee-wees.
How you like to look.
Wow.
Wow. Go ahead.
So,
what do you got now?
No, but Eric's right. A lot of people were back to practice, and I think that's good. That's great.
Perfect.
Of course it's good.
Perfect.
Why wouldn't
attendance.
It be bad?
Leon Washington.
That's the argument. I'm saying it's bad that they're back.
Leon Washington also made a locker room appearance. Didn't speak, I don't believe.
I don't believe so.
But was visible, at least. That's something we haven't seen in a while.
I mean, this mythical figure who could help the team, except he's been here forever and done nothing.
Well, but it tells me something, though, that they were willing to put up with all of his nagging injuries to this point, keep the roster spot, and hope that he gets better. Well, they must see something
there. And
that's
Bill's theory that late in the year you need to return kickoffs.
Now, Vereen...
And Vereen
was eligible to come back Carolina,
early,
right?
Carolina. Yes.
No. That's another misrepresentation.
Out loud.
How many
fights are we going to revisit?
I want to go back to...
We tried our best to keep it going while you were gone.
Yeah, we did.
I really felt bad. I'm like... Because I didn't do it in the hallway, and then I had to wait for locker room, and then I'm in the locker... And I'm like, this sucks. I've
but
been gone
Vereen
like an hour.
Can play against Carolina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
that's his
Leon Washington, that could be the last game that Leon Washington's on the roster. Could be.
Well, but they were both on the roster together to start the year.
No, I understand. Well, technically not to start the year.
Well, but you know what I mean. Well, yeah, he was. He was active.
They re-signed him for Buffalo, and he was inactive.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was on the 53.
But they are. I mean, listen, we already know that they deemed him not important enough to make the roster at one time. They cut him.
Wait, but I think Leon Washington's purely a kick returner.
Absolutely.
I do, too.
And I'm not sure that Shane Vereen will be the kick returner.
I agree with that,
too. No. I'm not saying that. But I don't think Leon Washington was returning kicks all the time when he was on the roster.
No, he wasn't, but I think they both could be on the roster. I'm confused.
They could both be on the roster. I didn't say it's automatic.
He's got an edge to it.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Well, but I mean...
You just said that'll be the last game they're on the roster together.
I said it could be the last game. I didn't say it will be. There's a big difference there. Someone will have to go when
Vereen... Some animal left a turd on his front steps.
No, I'm edgy because I'm getting misrepresented left and right. I didn't say that that's absolutely going to happen. I said it's possible. Someone will have to go when Vereen gets activated, right?
Well, maybe.
No?
Well, yeah, no,
I mean,
definitely.
Somebody could go on IR between now. I mean,
so well, someone will have to go.
Right. Yeah. There'll have to be a change.
But there could be eight moves between now and then.
Yeah.
No, I'm just... But
there has to be a transaction.
I'm being edgy. They would have another running back.
Yeah, but
that's why I'm
point is,
putting
I don't
two and two together.
Leon Washington a running back. I think if he's on this team, he's a kick returner.
I agree.
And that's his role.
I agree.
I don't know that it's like Matthew Slater. I don't consider anything but a special teamer, and he has a role. I think there's a chance that Bill will have Leon Washington as his late season kick returner.
Of course there's a chance.
He believes that kickoffs are now relevant because they're not, you know, he thinks everybody in the beginning of the year just kicks them out of the end zone.
Right. And then whether it's later in the year, kicks are shorter, you're
getting
more
returns. If they're at the goal line, I have Leon Washington who can actually run instead of LeGarrette Blount.
No, and that is something that Fred brought up. And I had said, why would you ever have anybody? He did.
He yell at you too.
No, yeah, not at all. Fred brought the exact same thing up that you just
kind
said.
Of he said.
No, but what I actually yelled at Bill. Saying, why,
who's
not here?
Bill was here.
Why would you have
on the show?
Has LeGarrette Blount returned kicks this year?
Yes.
So they haven't all been touchbacks, right?
Correct.
So why would you have somebody back there that you don't want to return the kick?
Well, you believe because you traded him for a kick returner.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And Fred had a better one. What was yours, Fred?
I said because probably out of all of them, he has the best hands.
No, you had some. You had a snarky one like
mine. Well, you made fun of that one, too. So it doesn't matter what I said.
No, but you. Wow. No, I said because my.
This is what happened in the morning meeting yesterday between you two.
I forget what you said now, though.
I said about the hands.
No, it wasn't the hands. He has terrible hands.
How long have you been married?
That's what I want. No, you had something about that was ridiculous like my, yes.
Yes, I said
like mine. It was stupid like my Jeff Dempsey
theory.
Yeah, I
said that Belichick probably, this is Belichick snubbing his nose saying that, you know.
Yes, yes, at the rule.
You ruined kickoffs by the new rules, so I'm just going to put him back there.
That was what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. Now look at Andy's reaction.
That's good. It's good.
So I said, that's ridiculous, but my Jeff Dempsey, I mean, that's okay, but my Jeff Dempsey theory is ridiculous.
I like both of them.
I laughed when he said that.
Yeah.
I like both.
See, that's why, like, it's not always fighting.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you guys fought about in the TV show yesterday?
No.
Fred and I were talking about that early. I said,
You
and Paul been going at it since yesterday's morning meeting on the TV show.
Yeah. I couldn't remember.
When I said the reason why I don't like when Brady runs is because you're susceptible to hits that you don't see coming.
Oh, yeah, and then you just started going at
it. And he says, when there's no one there, I said, there's never, quote, no one there. You never know for sure that no one's there.
The only time he runs is when there's no one there.
But my example that
Bill's
I used is
Bill's got a break in tackles. He got according to Bill.
He got crushed.
I missed that, by the way, when he broke a tackle.
He didn't get touched.
He said
he Bill went goes, down.
You know,
he slid.
He broke a tackle by Wheeler, I think.
Philip Wheeler. He deked out of his jock, kind of like Urlacher.
Bill called that a broken tackle.
Yeah, no. I insist that
did Brady get yards after contact?
On Fred's point, I would like it if he should run more because it's clear that defenses are scared to death to touch him when he runs.
Yeah.
So you're getting free yards.
Yeah.
Because if you tackle him, you're going to get penalized.
Well, he's the cowardly lion.
Oh, come on.
But I think that's what the – I mean, you can't tell me that that wasn't on their mind last week when they were trying to tackle him.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut, who was on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I got a question for you. It's going to kind of switch up your day. I just been following one of our exes, Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah.
What is with this guy? I mean, you know,
an idiot.
I know the NFL fined him and they suspended him and they, it was a 2-day or 2-game suspension for the, hits to the head and launching. I mean, the last play I remember him as a Patriot was knocking the crap out of Todd Heap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he launched then and he did it 5 or 6 times as a Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he got fined.
No, he's an idiot. You know, he just doesn't get it.
Then he comes out with these comments that, you know, okay, well, now I'm going to go after people's knees and end careers and blow out ACLs. I mean, yeah, you know, do you think the NFL is going to do anything with this guy?
Oh, I think that he's on notice. There's no doubt. I mean, we talked about this yesterday in the office. He's acting like a little kid. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to eat my food. You know, if you don't let me do this, then I'm going to do that.
Right.
And it's idiotic.
Yeah, he needs to be kicked out of the league.
It's almost an embarrassment that he played for us.
Permanently.
I'm glad that, you know, Belichick let him go. But just, I mean, you know, to have that mentality to even say that, you know, you're going to, you know, now you're out to end other people's careers because, you know, and it's like, what?
Let me tell you, if he does do that, there's going to be someone going after him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's basically making it premeditated.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's not on the same level to me as like the same thing with the bounty gate. But if he did like just say, take somebody out, do you think the NFL would like opt to like say, listen, buddy, you're done for the rest of the year?
Oh yeah, but you know what? I don't think he's
not going if he tackles someone in the knee.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get that low. He doesn't have it in him to get that low.
No, his instinct is to go
high.
Right. He wants to knock you out.
Right.
Yeah, he likes to launch.
See, I think the NFL has more than enough of precedent with him that they can kick him out of the league.
Right.
He's a multiple repeat offender,
He's like the new James Harrison.
He's had more than enough chances to fix, quote unquote, his problems with going the way he hits. He's clearly not trying to fix it.
Right.
He just keeps going back and he's
he's habitual.
He is. He's a recidivist.
Is that what the
recidivist? That's exactly right.
He played for Chicago.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he played for Chicago
after here.
Then he went to Washington.
I just don't understand why. I mean, I don't think he's very good.
Out of the league.
I don't think it's worth it. Like, okay, Ed Reed got had the suspension. Ed Reed's great. Okay, so I have to deal with whatever. You know, James Harrison even was great, a defensive player of the year.
Right.
Merriweather sucks.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He does suck. And I mean, you talk about Sue being a dirty player. This guy's going to be, above
he's
Sue.
Up there. Yeah.
But Sue's another one. You put up with it because he's great.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that is the major difference between all of them.
That's the difference that Andy just pointed out.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
And Sue,
by the way,
is every bit as dirty as anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I would actually say Sue is dirtier.
He's dirtier in a different way.
I think Brandon Merriweather does one thing.
Right.
It's
he goes
dirty,
through your head.
And it's what he but it's one thing. It's the way. You know, Sue does a variety
all
of different
things
that are dirty.
You never know what he's going to do to you.
I just despicable. Like
it really is.
An idiotic. Idiot is the word. The
but
only
they
word
have
I
just
think
they
of.
Have
idiot.
Just the NFL has just caused to kick him out of the league.
I also
there's
think
plenty of, there's plenty of evidence to prove that he can't
play well with others.
Right. Exactly.
Fred.
Again, to get back to the little
take
kid.
Take your ball and go home.
Poppy's hitting 733 in the World Series. Think he'll get the MVP if they win?
Yeah. I would think so.
I want to see if we can have an argument on that.
Well, what if Lester has to come back for Game 7?
Poppy gets the MVP.
Well, you better hope they get it done tonight. Nobody wants to have a Game 7 during Halloween.
Well, it's cool. I mean, there's no doubt
cool
a Game
watch,
7
but...
on Halloween is that adds some theatrics to it, but I'd still rather they just win tonight.
Yeah, because, I mean, you
want to
concentrate.
I just don't
want to
stay up and watch another game. I'm tired.
Well, not only that, as a Red Sox fan, if you go to Game 7, you can lose the World Series at home.
Yeah.
You know that whole thing about they haven't gotten the chance in 95 years?
Yeah.
Well,
funny
it might
happened.
Go another 100.
Yeah.
Don't let that come to fruition.
Yeah.
Why are ballparks hers?
What do you mean?
Feminine?
I read a whole story about Fenway.
Mean?
Yeah, and it was about how she hasn't been able to celebrate.
See, now I've never heard a ballpark
referred and
by gender. I've never heard that before.
A whole article today on
really?
ESPN about.
I've never heard that before.
All her.
Like Eric said, ships are always she.
Oh, yeah, but that's just the way it is. It's
and countries are normally she, unless you're Germany, and then it's the fatherland. But I've never heard of a ballpark being genderized.
Okay.
I can't recall that either.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. I thought I had missed something, and people had always done this. But this
where did you see this?
This was the ESPN Boston story about, Fenway getting the chance to celebrate like she hasn't
the
before.
The old girl.
And, yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of that. Yeah. That.
Hmm.
Quick side note.
I can't recall.
I know I'm dragging us off topic terribly here, but
I don't know. They have Pesky's pole, so how could it be a she?
And you wonder how we got in arguments.
I thought I'd get a better reaction than that.
Did you watch the
come up with a better joke?
Did you watch the Jimmy Connors 30 for 30 last night?
I did. I saw the trailer. I did.
I didn't really know anything
Freddie,
about
Freddie. Good T2000 talk.
Oh yeah.
I just didn't know he was.
Let me tell you, that was one of the hardest rackets to use.
Oh
no.
Well, that's what they talked about.
Yeah.
Man.
And
sorry.
I thought I was taking us off track.
Sorry, Andy.
I didn't know he was that big of an a-hole.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I did, but
no, not even
Did you see the very end?
A-hole.
Spoiled.
He beat
rotten
his friend
kid.
And never talked to him again.
Did you know
friends?
Did you know the story with Krickstein?
What do you mean he beat his
friend? You know, the documentary was centered on the 91
right,
run
yeah.
that he made
right.
to the semifinals.
Right.
Well, the fourth round match, he beat Aaron Krickstein in a match he had absolutely no business winning.
Epic.
They're really, really good. They were really, really good friends. Krickstein treated him as his mentor. They had dinner together all the time. They worked out
shot
together
at
all
his
the time.
Went shooting his shotguns at his ranch.
They were unbelievably close. And that was what the whole storyline was going to great lengths to tell you. Connors beat him.
Right.
Yeah.
He's never spoken to Krickstein since.
Why?
Well, you would think the other way if Krickstein had beaten him.
No.
And Krickstein was like, I have no idea why.
And I'd like to someday maybe just someday do a round of golf or something, he said. And,
wow, that's weird.
And Kibitz over. And then they went to all the other people that they talked to, like Mary Carrillo, Chris Fowler.
They were almost brought to tears.
They were stunned.
Can't
see
that.
That was the big reveal at the end. They told him he's never spoken to Krickstein since.
Wow.
And they went around, McEnroe was great, by the way. John McEnroe was fantastic.
Well, they all were. I thought Connors was great.
It was really, really
good.
He
called
part in it?
And he said, because I believe Patrick McEnroe called him the a-hole.
Yeah.
And he goes, really, Patrick said that?
Yeah, now, he goes, I would expect that from John.
John said it, I could understand, but Patrick said that? And then in the end, he just said, yeah, I was an a-hole, and that's what it took to do the job or whatever.
Well, I just hated the way he looked at, like I'm right because I won, and that's what I needed to do to win.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be like that to win.
And he said, I'm an a-hole, and I'm a happy a-hole,
yeah.
Or something he said.
Yeah.
But he
was really
also,
good, Fred. You need to see it.
He might have had to do it. He was an interesting player. I mean, when you look at him, he didn't have a hard serve. He just had unbelievable angles on the court. His hand-eye coordination, he hit the flattest ball, no top spin, no spin. But he was able to just angle that ball and just drive it on a, flat, with a flat hit.
Yep.
He was also the Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
The whole story was that Krickstein liked to play fast. And because they were such good friends, Jimmy Connors knew this. And they showed the highlights of
awesome.
He went to his towel 61 times.
60
right. Changed
times.
Rackets. And he does this thing. He's got them elastic together. And he looked like an infomercial. Oh, it's so hard to get this elastic off. And he throws it down like, oh.
And he's making big jokes out of it.
Filled his water bottle 16 different times.
Right.
He went to a towel 66 times in the match. They counted.
Yeah, they showed it. They had like a little clicker and they clicked it up. I wish I remembered that more. I don't really remember.
I remember that run because I was working.
But
at
like
the Herald
him talking
time.
To the camera and the crowd and
oh,
this is what
I mean,
they
you
pay
know,
to
I
see.
I was a huge tennis fan when in his heyday. I hated him.
I hate
him
because you actually used his tactics later against
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I
stalling.
Well, that was
I always hated
fear
Connors.
Of death.
Three sports,
but no, I hated Jimmy Connors.
I meant to
Didn't
talk to
never
you about that this
him.
Morning. If
phenomenal,
you had seen
it was so good. And you know what they did that was right as well. It was an hour, not an hour and a half. They didn't drag it out like that.
See,
Whalers one that should have been an hour.
I always liked them to go longer.
Were there commercials?
Because if they're good, I like them.
See, I know,
but that Whalers
they were
one
all
was
30
long.
Minutes because of 30 on 30.
No, it started out as 30 documentaries for 30 years of ESPN.
Right.
Now it has no meaning at all.
Right.
Well, it was so successful, just, they've made
that's
more.
That's the brand, though.
Right.
So they can't.
And they really, even have 30 like, for 30 shorts.
It's like
that they
24
put
is going to make a movie. Well, how are you making a 24-hour movie?
But it was really good, and they talked about the T2000, Fred, and how hard it was.
Yeah,
because the racket head was so small.
The sweet spot was the smallest sweet spot that you could have.
Yeah, when we had him. My brother and I had him.
When he beat Krickstein, he was using that big yellow racket.
Yeah,
it was huge.
Different.
Yeah, it was like an old man's racket.
I don't see how you could not be good now with the size of those rackets.
It's ridiculous. I think the technology is. They're serving 140 miles an hour. You could not do that with a wood racket. You just can't.
That's what Fred had to use.
That's right.
It was good, though. You should see it because it'll be in replay. You should DVR it or something. Make sure you see it.
I actually saw the second run last night. It was on the deuce at like 10.
Oh, good, because I actually missed a couple parts of it that I want to see. But And he was a whack.
Because I wanted
Krickstein
to watch it.
Krickstein was a head case.
Oh.
Like once it started to lose and he's saying, I was in a blur in the crowd and this and that.
He was talking.
He was
like, it got to the point where... You know, it was inevitable that I was going to lose. And, like, I'm thinking, really? Like, that's what you were thinking?
Right. It's like Penn Walser saying, if this ball goes through my hands, I'm going to be the GOAT of the Super Bowl.
And he was no stiff. I mean, he was a top 10 player. He was never what he was supposed to be because Krickstein was one of those guys that was supposedly the next big thing.
Well, he was a voluntary kid with the big serve and the big forehand, but that's about it.
But he never really became. Yeah.
A week later,
Brad Gilbert?
No.
Who was
it?
Been
Brad Gilbert.
Oh, Woodford, was it? No, it was one of those guys. I forget.
And he left him because he probably realized he's a head case.
A week later, he left him, his
really?
Coach.
Because he lost to Connors.
Wow.
And it was because of that, because he lost that
I mean,
match.
They basically make this out. The reason he never was what he should have been was this match. Like, it all fell apart after this. He lost his friend. He lost his coach. He lost his confidence. He lost the match.
The Connors thing is weird, though. It's like, you could see him being angry, like, oh, this,
right.
My protege
beat me.
I'm going to spoil Brat now. I'm not going to talk to him. But he won the match.
Or if for some reason Krickstein just decided that he didn't like the way Connors played. He thought he was, his tactics and all that.
Right.
But the guy who won the match
isn't talking to the guy he beat. And the guy he beat wants to talk to him.
Right. And you should have seen,
that's crazy.
Like Andy just described, like the other guys were like, almost in tears. Like, I think Chris Farley may have been crying.
He was very close.
When he was talking, he was like, he could not believe when they didn't know.
Right, they dropped the bomb on it.
The directors told these other people that they've never spoken since, and they were like stunned. And McEnroe was awesome. I forget the line he had at the end of that, but it was a really good line he had making fun of Connors at the end.
It was great though. You need to watch.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I've never seen a 30 on 30.
Really?
Well, that's
any of them?
They're really well for the most
part. I know.
Really
everybody
well
says
done.
They're all great.
He just doesn't have time.
I don't have time for that.
Actually, I saw the Bo Jackson one.
You can go online and get him too. I mean, online on demand. And
See one of Bo's Raider records got the
93
Terrell Pryor.
Terrell
the other day.
Pryor.
That's a shame. Yeah, records are made to be broken.
It's a shame.
All right. Well,
he's like Chris Fowler. He's going to cry.
He's going to cry. Yeah.
Is it 2 o'clock?
No, it's not two
o'clock. It's 2 o'clock.
It's 1:59.
1:59. I see John Rook. He's here.
Yeah, he's here.
You know,
a Rook and a Queen.
So
we get some food.
Quick question. Poll.
They were waiting till after
quick
the
poll.
Press conference.
Yeah, I know.
Assuming the guys that have been not healthy get healthy and come back, do the Patriots have a chance to beat Denver when they play?
Where's the game?
The game here.
Oh, I'm thinking playoffs.
No, the game here.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Aqib Talib plays, they have a chance.
Obviously.
That's a big one.
Talib, they get a good pass rush on Manning. Yeah.
Paul says no chance.
He better play better than last week.
I said right now I don't see him beating
It was only first game.
Oh, I won't be predicting it. You said chance.
Yeah, of course there's a chance.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a difference.
Just so you know, the bar's been lowered about 8 spots since we started this.
Oh, no.
Because I'm saying there's a chance. I will be picking.
It's all about what the Patriots are going down this week.
We had an emailer that said, assuming that these guys come back, I think that they have a chance.
Yeah, but I think they have to come back and dominate. It's not just come back.
Yeah, they have to be good.
Okay.
They have to have a great game.
Chandler Jones needs to be better. They're going to have to play a really good football game that day, and they're going to have all those guys playing.
How much better are the Colts than the Patriots?
The Broncos, you mean?
I mean, no, Colts to the Patriots. How much better are the Colts to the Patriots?
I think they're comparable.
Yeah, I think they're comparable.
Well, the Colts beat the Broncos.
Yeah, I know. The Broncos pooped themselves.
Yeah,
you yourself said Peyton Manning, it was in his head.
And I will tell you right now.
And you joked, you got to play a video.
If the Patriots are +4 in turnovers, they will beat the Broncos too. And that could happen because the Patriots' defense takes the ball away better than anybody in football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they have a chance.
Yes, they have a chance.
If the other team poops itself.
I think right now, I agree, Broncos are a better team and they should win that game.
Right, which is why I'm saying I will be picking them, but they have a chance.
Just so you know, that's all I said.
No.
Right now, Fred, if you had to pick the Patriots or the Broncos, who are you picking?
Right now, Broncos.
Right now, even assuming the guys that return to practice will be on the field that day, who are you picking?
I have to wait and see.
No.
You know what I'm really disappointed in now?
We could have had
a great PFW.
If you're telling me that
if Andy had come back,
if
we would have had a great PFW.
All these guys are
going
to come back and play to their full potential. I might pick the Patriots.
How's that for a ringing endorsement? If everybody comes back and plays to their potential, I might pick the Patriots.
If Paul, Eric, and Andy pick the Broncos, I'll pick the Patriots just because I can't have all of us picking the Broncos.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is here with the playbook. Now, today, who do you have on your show?
Ed Bouchette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Okay, good. Around for a while.
Where's Phil?
Yes,
yeah.
And it rhymes. Where's Phil Sims?
Phil Sims is not here today.
Was that false advertising by your producer?
Might have been.
Or Fred?
Might have been. But
he's the one that's
instead of Phil today, how about Jim Nance tomorrow? Does that work?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tradition unlike any other.
Right. Are you tight with Jim Nance?
I've known him for a number of years.
I figured, you know, kind of in the industry for a long time.
Actually, our paths crossed as ships in the night in and around Houston. Years ago. That's right.
You guys go across the border, have some tequila together?
Actually, no. The true story is that I got called by Jerry Trupiano to work way back at the radio station KTRH in Houston. And he said, I'm looking for a sports guy. And I said, well, why is that? Because I had interned for Troop a number of years ago. He said, well, because Nance is going to go do this TV thing. Obviously, the TV thing took off.
So you replaced
him? I almost replaced Jim Nance in Houston. I didn't because at the time I took a job instead to go work for the San Antonio Spurs.
I didn't know you worked for the Spurs.
I did. Number of years ago.
At the Hemisphere?
Play-by-play.
Wow. For radio, TV?
Radio and TV.
Wow. Same broadcast?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a simulcast.
Oh, wow.
Was this at
that
the
part? I didn't know. I thought you were just
was
radio
the old Hemisphere Arena. Yes, correct.
Tell me, George Gervin was playing.
George Gervin was playing.
One thing he could do:
finger roll.
Awesome. You've always been the black and white and silver.
Black and white.
That's your colors.
Black, white, and silver have stuck with me throughout.
Did you use peanut butter and jam back then?
I did.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you still use that?
If I have an occasion to
do it, Providence can dump.
I try to. I try not to overuse that.
I love it. I mean, seriously, when I was a kid, that was awesome.
When I was a kid.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Kid. Thank you very much.
No,
he throws that those out there every once in a while. You want to smash him in the side of the head.
But I'm just being honest.
Like he told me to go F myself.
I used to watch the Friars a lot, and peanut butter and jam was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well,
I
the
haven't,
Friars were
I
big
actually
and,
haven't, well, when they oh, were good, yeah.
Well,
they
like
haven't actually
80s,
been good in the last like 6 or 7 years.
But like late 80s, year, early 90s,
yes.
And yeah. TV
Lewis.
Was different then. I didn't,
yes.
We didn't have a million channels.
Pop,
Fox right. 64
yep.
or one Yasek of those
Duda.
Would show the games.
That's
and,
right. Yasek Duda. Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. You know, John Rook was an influential figure in my career.
Oh
Eric
my God.
Murdoch. Remember those years?
Eric Murdoch. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be it.
All right.
Stay tuned for the playbook, and we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.